Sarah Warmby. South Australia has voted to bring an end to Labor's 16-year reign in the state, dashing Premier Jay Weatherill's hopes of leading the party to a record fifth term. Mr Weatherill waded through cheering Labor supporters at the West Adelaide Football Club last night to concede election defeat.
I'm sorry I couldn't bring home another victory, but I do feel like one of those horses that has won four Melbourne Cups and... I think the handicap has caught up with us on this occasion.
Mr Weatherill also thanked South Australians by urging Labor supporters to keep their heads high and pledging the party would come back. Meanwhile, Premier-elect Stephen Marshall has committed his incoming government to work every day to ensure a brighter future for South Australia. ACTU President Jed Carney has held off a Greens challenge to retain the federal inner Melbourne seat of Batman for Labor, maintaining the opposition numbers in the lower house. Arthur Stevens has more.
The Greens conceded the defeat with Alex Bathall ratting in the seat for the sixth time, saying it wasn't the result they wanted, but wish Ms Carney the best. The by-election, triggered by the resignation of Labor MP David Feeney over his dual citizenship, has been hotly contested between Ms Carney and Ms Bathall. The Liberals didn't stand a candidate. The Greens have been confident of snatching victory despite internal party leaks about alleged bullying and intimidation by Ms Bathall, which she denies. Ms Carney says Labor ran an excellent campaign. Arthur Stevens, Melbourne.
In Western Australia, David Honey will replace former Premier Colin Barnett as the representative for Cottesloe after winning yesterday's by-election. A number of out-of-control grass and bushfires are threatening lives and homes in Victoria's southwest. Emergency warnings were issued for the blazes at Terang, Natook, Airford, Gravigal near Warrnambool early this morning. Total fire bans have been declared for the central and southwest districts, including Melbourne and Geelong, following unseasonably warm overnight temperatures. And total fire bans have been issued for more than half of New South Wales, including the Greater Sydney region, with hot and windy conditions set to create dangerous conditions. New South Wales residents have been reminded the official bushfire danger period doesn't end until March 31st. Overseas, US Attorney General Jeff Sessions has fired FBI official Andrew McCabe, who was accused of political bias by US President Donald Trump. Reporter Paula Reid.
In a statement, the Attorney General said McCabe lacked candor, including under oath on multiple occasions. All FBI employees know that lacking candor under oath results in dismissal. But McCabe pushed back hard, saying his firing is the administration's attempt to undermine Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. In a statement, McCabe wrote, "I am being singled out and treated this way because of the role I played, the actions I took, and the events I witnessed in the aftermath of the firing of James Comey."
And Russia is set to expel British diplomats in retaliation for Prime Minister Theresa May's decision to kick out 23 Russians as relations with London crashed to a post-Cold War low over an attack involving a military-grade nerve agent on English soil. This is Air News. The giant killing West Tigers have toppled NRL Premiers Melbourne on their own turf, with Luke Brooks scoring a last-ditch try to claim a 10-8 victory. After their opening round defeat of Premiership heavyweights, the Sydney Roosters, the Tigers showed no fear against the Storm last night at Amy Park to continue their unbeaten start to the season. Brooks has told Fox Sports it was a tough game.
Obviously out the Symbian there, that's 2 weeks in a row, so I think we've got to cut that out, but yeah, we're lucky to get away with the win. First two rounds, we've got a long season to go, but hopefully we can keep playing some good footy.
In the other games, there were wins for the Penrith Panthers and the New Zealand Warriors. A return to Canberra has reignited the Brumbies Super Rugby season, scoring a 24-17 victory over the Sharks last night. Entering the match at GIO Stadium after two straight defeats to Australian Conference rivals, all the pressure was on Dan McKellar's team to deliver. While it wasn't always pretty, the Brumbies did enough to account for their South African opponents and square their season ledger at 2-2 heading into a bye. The Western Bulldogs are the first team in the AFLW Grand Final after they scored a stunning 2-point win over Melbourne last night. And in the A-League, Brisbane Roar beat Sydney FC 2-1 at Allianz Stadium, and Newcastle beat Wellington 1-0. Australian Independent Radio News.
Dynamics Indications, in association with Arrowfield Stud, have a potential stallion prospect to own and race with Gay and Adrian. By Australia's champion sire Reduce Choice, our colt's from Pretty Pins, Group 3 winner of 6 races. He's a three-quarter brother to Group 1 winner LA Wonder and related to Group 1 winner Tabachi. For $13,550 a share, join our Dynamic Arrowfield Gay and Adrian team. For info, visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
The Tab app is proudly made by punters. Punters like Steve. Yeah, I squeezed in more live racing than any other app and added race replays so you can brush up on a runner's past performances. Funny story that. I built it using hexadecimal code and thank you, Steve. You can check out his handiwork by downloading the Tab app today. Tab, we love a bet. Live Race Vision covers all televised Australian racing. Racing Vision available to Tab account customers only. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
I'm Lane Beachley. Cartridges for Planet Ark just had its biggest year ever. On average, 13,500 printer cartridges were collected every working day. And they were all turned into useful things like pens, garden beds, even road surfaces. So thanks to everyone who recycled from home, work or school. To make the coming year even bigger, check out cartridges.planetark.org.
To win the title for Sydney FC from 11 metres. The Johnny Warren medalist, the best player in the league this season. If this goes in, it's Sydney's crown. Nikovic scores! Dreams have come true in Sky Blue!
Looking at Lee, wanders off the rail, now with 3 lengths to make up and a 16th to go. But always dreaming is digging down, and always dreaming is holding on. Looking at Lee, can't catch, always dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
Across the ground, look at Dugan fly high and bring the ball down. Johnson away to Chilvasa check, and he is over. That's 10 tries. And Tess Flett
comes away to Boyd.
Boyd holds it back, steps twice off the right foot, got it away. Here's a try for Jake Trebojevic.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome to the program. I hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. Sunday mornings, Ray, it means only one thing.
You're going to put up with me again for 3 hours.
You and I are sitting next to each other for another. See, that's who puts up with who here. And please don't SMS in, Judy. You know what your thoughts on that are. Who do you think? Who puts up with who here, right?
I think probably more you putting up with me, I think.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so. 1353, that's the open line number.
Producer Steve shaking his head at that one, too.
Yeah. He's on your team, is he?
No, it's one team.
Oh, right.
Anyway, what's on the show today, James? What's on the show?
Dare I say it, Ray? It's a massive program. We've got our race replays nice and early. Graham Begg, how exciting for him. Written by... owned by his father, the legendary Neville Begg.
Mm.
I've got to ask him.
Owned and bred.
I've got to ask him about the rhyming slangs.
Yeah, okay.
When I first came to Sydney, the great David Horne, the left arm leg spinner for New South Wales,
yes.
He was playing at Waverley Cricket, which I was there, and it was a big part of my life early on.
Was he a Chinaman lefter?
Correct. He took a heap of wickets for New South Wales. Rhyming slang is just about made up his entire language.
Really?
Right?
Yeah.
And the Neville Beggs, always got to mention. Oh, have a look at the Neville Beggs. You know? So I've got to ask Graham about that. I've got to ask him about Written By too. Good run yesterday, half a second faster than Sunlight. And we're going to speak to Tony McAvoy as well.
Yeah, that's important. When 2-year-old racing particularly, they only race 35 minutes apart. Times don't lie. So...
Well, she was eased down on the line.
Sunlight probably had a little bit in reserve, but Written By was very, very good. So, and so was the runner-up in that race, Sandbar, by the way.
Excellent run from Sandbar, yeah. Very exciting about that. We'll have Zorba on Talking League. Lots to get through, including salary cap issues over there at Manly still, the Peter Beattie gaff during the course of the week, and the sides that are 2-0. Raymond.
I want to stop the season now. St. George and Penrith.
Well, your sides. If I was to have said to you prior to the start of the season, the sides that will be 2-0 will be the Dragons, the Warriors, the Panthers, and the West Tigers. and the side that could join them would be the Newcastle Knights. What would you have said?
I thought maybe Panthers, the rest got zero chance, but look at that, you know. The Dragons are playing great. How good were the Tigers last night? That penalty count, also 18 penalties against them. I was on Twitter, someone said the highest in
second,
years.
9-1 in the second half.
How did they turn the Storm back? Time after time again.
And they were down one man for 10 minutes.
They were fantastic, the Tigers. And I tell you what, who impressed me last night, tell me if I'm wrong, and he's done it 2 weeks in a row now, he was physically good, he was very involved. It was like he was 10 years younger. Benji Marshall.
Spot on.
He was
spot
really
on.
Good.
It was mentioned in commentary yesterday, and I think that's probably right. What happens when Josh Reynolds come back? It's an easy way to ease him in to the side for Ivan Cleary is just make him number
good
14.
Point. Yeah.
But why would you change what Brooks and Marshall are doing at
it's
the moment?
It's working, and the club's playing well, and they're great to watch, yeah.
They are. Mm. Very, very spirited. To beat Melbourne... In a milestone game.
In Melbourne, too.
In a milestone game. Billy Slater's 300. Just incredible. Tell you what was incredible as well, Andrew Adkins.
Yes.
First group one. Ronnie Quinton. He seemed so calm and relaxed. I saw him interviewed before the race, and he said, oh, yeah, I think they'll run well, but I just hope that there's trainers out there that their horses don't run so well. There's 15 other trainers their horses don't run so well. So
he's seen it all, hasn't he, Ron? He's seen it all during a wonderful career, and he's done a super job with both his mares. Dixie was unlucky yesterday in a blanket finish, but
yes.
Daisy, just when she gets to the front, so hard to run down. And he's made a habit of producing Group 1 winners for his stable apprentices.
Do we have a degrees of separation between Andrew Adkins, our guest today? So Andrew Adkins rides for Ron Quinton, who rode for Neville Begg,
yeah.
Emancipation.
Correct. Goes right back. Yeah.
There you go. So we'll have Andrew on the program too. We've had him on before. He's a lovely young fellow, isn't
he? Yeah, he is. Speaks very well.
Yes.
He's only 20 years. You've got to shake your head sometimes. Think he's only 20 years old. So
5 weeks as a senior rider.
Yep.
So things are looking on the up. Event Cinema's quiz is back. Score update.
I have forgotten. I honestly have. I can't see you. Is it 6-4, James Smith? I saw it in the corner here.
It is 6-4, yeah.
You burst away to an early lead. It was sprightly less.
I burst away to a lead of 12-6 at one stage last year. And between you, Jeremy, Tanya, and everyone else involved, I was able to be pulled back and you won the 2. You're the schmuck.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Our legend of the game today, this is an interesting one too, leading up to the Commonwealth Games, just around the corner, by the way, up there on the Gold Coast, Lisa Curry.
Flash of inspiration from Tanya.
Lisa Curry, she was a multiple gold medal winner. She went to Edmonton.
In 78.
78.
Won a silver in the relay,
16-year-old, yeah, silver in the relay, and then...
And she was still competing in 92, wasn't she?
Correct.
Yes, Olympics.
Went to Barcelona in 92. So incredible longevity in her career and has always been near the headlines ever since.
Yeah.
There's been a fascination with Lisa Curry, hasn't there?
Actually, have been into a news agency the last couple of days.
Women's Day.
Yeah, on the front cover.
It's not...
ask her about that.
I'll tell you, it's funny you mention that because I saw that yesterday and I was going to say to our legend, Lisa, it's not often that I look through Women's Day for inspiration and some research to speak to our legend of the game, but I did it this week.
Yeah. And apparently she was also on the front cover of Good Housekeeping. Good Health.
Jesus. See, there's a big difference between Good Housekeeping and Good Health.
Oh, you can tell I buy them.
And by the way, is that a Freudian slip again, Ray? About who's going to go and buy the milk and who's going to do the housework and all that. Gee whiz.
It was a bad mistake. Actually, I'm good at housework.
Are there any good mistakes?
A very good point.
Robbie Slater will have...
Degrees of, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Degrees of. Don't get me wrong on that. Paul McGregor, well, he'll be cock-a-hoop at the moment. 2-0.
The Dragons here.
They've won 2 games in very different fashions.
Mm.
But I think what we were all impressed by is how solid they are. They've come from $29 into $11, fourth favourite for the flag.
I was talking to you after that game. Obviously, I was pretty excited. But you made a couple of really good points. And when I watched some of the replay, you're 100% right. The Dragons' defence around the ruck, they don't miss tackles.
They do not miss tackles.
DeBellin, Frizzell, McKinnon, all those guys just tackle.
Vaughan,
they just tackle like everything. And they got something going there, the Dragons. It's early doors, I know, for Dragons supporters. It's early doors, but They're going the right direction. You take 2-0 every time.
Every single time. Trent Lenscale and Scotty Foster as well. That hour, as well as your calls, 13:53:53. I've got to ask you, Raymond, Peter Beattie, the gaffe that he did on Monday night. Now, to put this into context, he's got his own Sky show on Monday night. So he was in at Channel 9, recorded the interview with Phil Gould before their new program, 100% Footy.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came and did his own Sky program. That's Sky News.
Yep.
Then he was on the Bill and Boz program on Sky on Fox Sports News, which I was on as well. Mm-hmm. So at that point, he
did. You know about it then?
No, okay. We didn't know. We didn't know until it aired.
Yep.
So there's the bigger issue, or not the bigger issue, an issue is the fact that Channel 9 could have scrapped it, cut that bit out. You wouldn't do that.
No, you wouldn't do that, no.
The other option is they could have said, hey, can we run it again? It was pre-recorded. It wasn't a live interview. Peter Beattie could have stopped talking and said, hang on, I want to do that again. He didn't.
You wouldn't do that, no.
Oh, you could.
You could, but you wouldn't do it, though.
Oh, I think if I was doing that and I was caught out and I was shown in a bad light,
the fact that Peter
I would have stopped the interview.
The fact that Peter Beattie didn't ask for that, well, yes. I'm presuming he didn't, I don't know. But
well, he certainly didn't stop, we know that.
You know, if that's the worst thing he's going, it's embarrassing for him.
Yep.
Very, very embarrassing. But if that's the worst thing he's going to do as chairman, then life moves on. It's not the end of the world. And what I have liked about him so far in the first week or two, his presence. He's out there. He's everywhere. He was there again last night for Slater's 300.
Yep.
So, look, I don't know what your feelings are about John Grant and past chairman of the NRL, but at least he's out there. He's promoting the game. He's talking up the game. He's got some wild old ideas about expansion, I must admit. I think you've got to make sure your current clubs are financially solid first before you start looking at expansion. But at least he's out there.
And just on that, how can clubs be any more solid? They're getting, in real terms, so where the salary cap's gone from to where it is, to where their grant has gone from to where it is, has gone, they're about $3.5 million better off. They're $3.5 million. Yep. So when people start talking about how solvent clubs are, and I know there's other issues out there for individual clubs, and people will talk about the losses that we've made and all that sort of stuff, but they're covered by leagues clubs, and that's in many ways their charter. The clubs cannot ask for any more from the National Rugby League.
That's true. So why do we continually hear and read about stories of clubs in financial trouble?
You tell me, Ray.
Well, no.
I
ask you the question.
You tell me, Ray. Because it's a very convenient story at times. Very convenient.
Either way, do you agree with expansion, though?
Absolutely.
Where?
Absolutely.
Second club in Brisbane?
Second club in Brisbane, maybe second club in New Zealand, and I think Perth's an option as well.
Central Queensland?
Not discounting.
I'd love to see a club in Central
Queensland. Not discounting either, as long as everything stacks up. And that's what they're doing. They're asking second-tier clubs to show over the course of the next 3 or 4 years that they can become an NRL club. And I think that's a legitimate and sensible way to go about expansion. I agree with you. I think that what Peter Beattie did was not too bad. I agree with what Phil Gould said. He talked about Sutherland Shire, and he may not have known where Sutherland Shire is, and this is a trick question and so forth. The one thing that Peter Beattie said that concerned me was he said, we don't need to rein in spending at the NRL. That concerned me. I was less concerned when I learned that Peter Volandis then went on to the commission because he will rein in.
Money will be reined straight in.
Exactly.
Don't worry about that.
And that's not a bad thing
at all. I think that's why he had such widespread support amongst the clubs because he has got the runs on the board.
Yes.
He is frugal. He does make it work. He does turn things around financially. So look at New South Wales Racing 10 years ago compared to now.
Exactly. And so that fills me with more confidence with that. Sydney FC, what's happened there? Season's falling off a cliff.
Oh.
And you've got some news about that, Ray, that's prompted a talk topic.
Yeah, well, Tara Rushton reported on Fox Sports that at half time, David Carney was replaced by Graham Arnold.
Mm.
Got dressed, packed his bags, went to walk out of the stadium at half time. Went to his car, put his bag in the car. Apparently, was allegedly talked out of leaving the ground.
By?
Well, we presume club officials.
That's got Terry McFlynn written all over it.
Okay. Came back in and watched the second half, and Brisbane had beaten Sydney FC 2-1.
Mm.
greatest dummy spits in sport, James. That was leads to my theme.
Dummy spits.
Mm.
Okay. Okay.
That constitutes a dummy spit, doesn't it?
Oh, you'd have to say so. Dave Carney, even though he's a friend of the program.
Yeah.
And we've seen him
and
on the...
A wonderful servant of the Sky Blues.
On a minibus on the way to the races one day. We saw him, Dave Carney.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you wave?
Tracy and I parked the car... Because we didn't want to drive all the way in there, so we just parked the car on this side street. Next thing, this minibus comes along. It was stopped in front of us. Pulls up. They say, "Hey, Jimmy, you want to come in for a ride?" I said, "Oh, okay, yeah, that'd be great." So we get in on this minibus. There's Dave Carney sitting in there with all these. I don't know where they were from. Anyway, they were on the way to the races. We had a great day. Fantastic. So good bloke, Dave Carney. Just spat the dummy last night. Eric Cantona.
Oh,
that's a dummy spit.
Kick?
Crystal Palace.
Mm.
That's a dummy spit.
Yeah, was it Crystal Palace, was it?
Crystal Palace, 21 years ago.
What did it happen to the bloke you kicked?
Matthew Simmons.
Oh, really? Yeah, what happened to him?
Don't know.
Did he press charges?
Tell you what, he's a big deal down at his local, isn't he?
Eric,
all right, lad. You're all right.
When was that, 92?
97.
97?
97, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about DK Lilly, aluminium bat? Remember that? 81, the whacker.
Yeah.
Walked out against England, had the aluminium bat.
Making a different sound,
made
apparently.
A funny sound. Chunks out of the ball, Brearley protests. Lily froze about halfway back to Sydney. Storms off to get a new bat.
We've been going through them. There's plenty of them. And we'll give away a great prize today, courtesy of Sony Music and the ATC. We'll work something out there with the ATC 100%. As well. So there's the prize. 1353 53, that's the open line number. You give us a call. We're taking a break here. It's 21 minutes past 7 on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Edition.
In the lead-up to the world's richest two-year-old race, the Big Sports Breakfast brings you the very latest straight from the horse's mouth. Join the boys live from Rosehill Gardens this Tuesday morning in the lead-up to the Longines Golden Slipper Barrier Draw. We'll get the good oil from connections of runners on Slipper Day and drop in on track work and barrier trials. Hear it first. See it firsthand on the Big Sports Breakfast. Live from Rosehill Gardens Tuesday morning from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1. You'll love that autumn racing feeling with our great offers on the country and provincial qualifying races that'll get your fists pumping. Get involved today on your TAB app, tab.com.au or at your local. TAB, we love a bet. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly. So Country 2018. 46 tracks featuring Sam Hunt, Chris Stapleton, Kenny Chesney with Pink, and there's so much more on So Country 2018. Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. And Jimmy, your favourite part of the show is the race replay segment. And if I told you
I tell you what, Raymond, I'll tell you what I'm really enjoying, this two-year-old season.
Oh. You're looking forward to this now.
Absolutely.
Oh. Actually, fantastic. You know what? Early call, who do you like in the Golden Slipper? Early call.
I'm fascinated to see how performer goes.
Did you see his trial last Thursday?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
Okay. So he tightened up in the market, didn't he?
Yeah.
And when's
with
the draw?
With the blinkers on. The draw is Tuesday morning.
And what about this wet weather we're going to have?
That is the big key.
Okay.
That turns everything upside down. And supposedly rain from Tuesday through to Saturday. I think... You look at the forecast earlier, on a couple of days, you're up to 20 mils.
20 mils on Wednesday, wasn't it?
So yeah. That does change things a lot. But at the moment, I know Sunlight is the favourite, Written By is right there, but we've had some exciting two-year-old racing. There was some exciting two-year-old racing yesterday. We saw Sunlight again. She got the job done once more in the Magic Night Stakes.
The straight now, and Sunlight races to a clear lead by a length and a half on Sweet Ava giving chase. Secret Lady back to the fence from Into the Abyss. Kara's Hope and Perfect Pitch down the outside. Christabel's making ground at the furlong. It's Sunlight two lengths clear from Sweet Ava, Christabel, and then came Kara's Hope. Sunlight in front. Christabel's going to a clear second, but Sunlight's clear and cements her favouritism for the Golden Slipper. Sunlight too good for Christabel. Sweet Ava in third. Good gap back to the rest. Secret Lady
She was good Sunlight. She held off a really nice filly by the name of Christabel, ran second. She's one to watch down the track. But Sunlight, a deserved favourite now for the Golden Slipper, retained favouritism.
Okay, even though the time was that much slower than Written By.
Yeah, look, she was sort of eased down a little bit towards the end and had a good margin on Christabel and always had the race in control. And she's got the runs on the board, James.
All right, well, let's have a look at the market as it stands at tab.com.au. $3.50, Sunlight. Excuse me. Written By, 5. Performer, 7. Esther Jarb and Santos. Mm. Now, Santos was $9 out to $11, back into $8.
Look, he trialled on Thursday as well, and there was a lot of people saying it was not as good as trials. Performer, fair enough. But watch that trial again, Jim. He was out 1,000 horses wide the whole way, almost on the outside fence.
Right.
Very strong for the line, Santos. So he's a sleeper for the Golden Slipper. The big key, though, you mentioned earlier, is the weather. Now, the winner of the next race, Pango Pango, Written By, did win his debut on a heavy track at Sandown back in the spring. He was pretty good, but Sandbar stretched him.
Written By Lee's Defence. Sandbar three quarters away on the rails. Then Shabrit the outside. Legislation into the clear. And further back to Spin. Down to the 250 now. Written By really being pushed along. Sandbar's giving the favourite a bit of a scare. They're well clear of the rest. It's Written By a neck in front to Sandbar. Written By keeps on kicking. Written By in front. 50 metres to go. And he remains unbeaten. Written By from a very brave Sandbar. Many lengths away to Spin third.
There wasn't much in it, Jim.
But the quick time is the thing we're all talking about.
Did it
about.
At both ends again.
Cleaned out the bin again, apparently, as soon as we're back in the store.
First run since the Blue Diamond, so there's a touch of improvement there to come. We'll ask Graham Begg about that shortly.
And that's an interesting point you make now. Tony McAvoy has decided with the quick backup, he did it with the Magic Millions, doing it again, and he thinks there's improvement there. Where does Sunlight improve?
You just said. That quick backup, she enjoys just that. She likes the racing.
Fitness.
Yep. And we'll talk to Tony shortly about Sunlight. And
yes.
Look, both horses have had perfect preps, haven't they? Sunlight and Written By. They're right on track. The run of Sandbar. Now, if this horse can get into the Golden Slipper, Jim, he is a knockout chance because...
What's he need?
He's about 17th. He could be 16th, depending on if one or two horses drop out.
Okay.
He's right on the borderline at the moment. And if the rain come as forecast... He is one horse who absolutely revels in it. So watch out for Sandbar if he gets into the Golden Slipper. What's Sandbar's price, Jim?
Standby, Raymond. Seabrook. Is Seabrook the...
He's down $21, Sandbar.
Sandbar, $21.
He's borderline. We'll know a bit more today. He may actually scrape into the field. If not, he'll be first emergency. And at $21, if the rains come, he's right in the contest. The Kilmore Classic... Ronnie Quinton, he's won 2 as a jockey. He's won 3 as a trainer, and he gives Andrew Adkins his first Group 1 on Dacey Doom.
Flippant leads into the straight in the Kilmore Classic from Dacey Doom. Just Dreaming third from Oregon's Day. Then Silence Edition, Prompt Response running on. Further back to Dixie Blossoms. 8 Memoirs going up the fence. Egg Tart's not in the hunt. Dacey Doom takes the lead at the 175. Dacey Doom in front. They're all charging home. Silence Edition going through the centre. Oregon's Day. Dacey Doom in front from Silence Edition. And Dacey Doom! Dacey Doom does it again. Wins the Kilmore Classic from either Oregon's Day or Silence Edition.
There's a length separating the first 7 over the line, length and a half the first 10, Jim.
Unbelievable, wasn't it? Blanket finish there, and Dacey Doom got it done, for, as you said, for Ronnie Quinton and Andrew Adkins. $22 too, thanks very much too.
Silly price. Should have had something on her.
Yeah, of course. We're all wise after the event, Raymond. What now for Dacey Doom?
Yeah, look, I asked Ronnie after that race, and he wasn't quite sure. She's in the Doncaster.
Yep.
There's also that mare's race, the Queen of the Turf Stakes, over the Randwick Carnival a week after the Doncaster. There's a number of options. When you've got a mare in such great form, you've got to look at everything, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's have a look. Dacey Doom is a $15 chance, along with Dixie Blossoms, of course.
Yeah, Dixie ran sixth and was a bit
the Doncaster.
Stiff.
Kemantari's still the $4 favourite there.
What price Tom Melbourne the Doncaster, Jim?
Tom Melbourne, there he is, $17.
Look, he didn't win yesterday.
Of course he didn't.
But he avoided a penalty into the Doncaster. Coming through, beats Tom Melbourne in the Ajax Stakes.
further back to come and through, and Tom Melvin hooking to the outside. There'll be no hard luck stories today. Down to the 300 are Beatsome, two lengths clear from Kingsguard. Then Radipole coming through, and Tom Melvin Beatsome giving a big sight, but here they come, coming through, and Tom Melvin, it's coming through, Tom Melvin coming through, Radipole through the middle, coming through just in front, coming through, beats Tom Melvin and Radipole. Silliman late, then came R. Beatsome.
He's beaten the handicapper coming through, and probably yes, Tom Melvin now. Actually, it was almost sad to watch, because you knew something was going to go wrong. He sort of, I love Chris Waller's comment after the race. He got the speed wobbles. Did you see top of the straight?
No, I didn't. I didn't see top of the straight.
Chris felt he went so quick, he wobbled around.
Well, that'll do me.
The speed wobbles.
I mean, what excuse next can you have?
Yeah? I think he's run out of excuses. He's to try and do his best to look the horse.
Have you ever seen it like it in another horse?
People are waiting for him to run second. Yeah. It is just staggering.
Have you ever seen anything like it in another horse?
I haven't, no. And he's got a cult following, this horse.
Of course he has.
And people are applauding when he runs second now. It's sort of sad. Down in Melbourne, the Blamey Stakes. Disappointing field of five, but important to watch this race and listen to it, because two horses potentially make a big impact in the Sydney Autumn, Humidor and Tosin Stardom.
Halliver Street in front, by a length quickens up from Odeon. Cool Chap still there. Now Tosin Stardom and Humidor try and make their runs in unison. 250 out, Halliver Street in front by three quarters Odeon. Now Humidor getting into its work, and Cool Chap's getting through between them. Could it be the outsider at the 100? Cool Chap with Humidor, the outside. Cool Chap and Humidor. Humidor gets the better of Cool Chap. Humidor back in the winner's list. Wins it from Cool Chap, Halliver Street, Odeon. 6 lengths,
Humidor just from Cool Chap. He did his usual thing, Jim, and lugged in late in the race. But Tosin Stardom out the back, disappointing.
Okay, Humidor, $9 for the Doncaster. We talked about coming through, $15.
Bit of news there. Blake Shin had the choice of Happy Clapper or Humidor and the Doncaster. Really difficult choice. He's staying with the Clapper.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
What price
$8, by the way, Happy Clapper. Yeah.
What price Tosin Stardom is in the Doncaster?
Tosin Stardom.
They're both heading towards the QE Stakes as well.
$26 for Tosin Stardom. And by the way, prized Icon is $35. And as someone, your colleague Brett Jones wrote today, I think he's been winxed.
Well,
I ran well today. I'm second by about 7 lengths.
A few horses have been winxed, haven't they?
Beast Mose yesterday for winks.
What's that?
Beast Mode.
Yeah, Karen McAvoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a great comment afterwards. And she looks in great order for the George Ryder next week. And if the rain comes, as we know, doesn't worry winks. Just one more, Jim. I'm going to stretch the friendship. The provincial championships qualified yesterday at Gosford.
Yes.
4 and 5 wide all the way, Serene Miss. She still wins.
News fan, followed by Serene Miss, Never Out, a long way back Pomelo, Bonami would need a wriggle on from there, Callow urges the favourite along, and then Leamy Astray. Manzana joined by Nico Bell at the top of the straight, moving out now is Dolly's Jew, getting a split, can't find Snippy, bold chance, Serene Miss, News fans coming late, and then Bonami, Serene Miss, News fan are after, can't find Snippy, Serene Miss, and News fan, Serene Miss, Serene Miss has won the Gosford Heat, second in either News Fan or Can't Find Snippy.
So Saturday the 14th of April, that'll be the provincial championship final, and at present it's Chris Lees v Kim Waugh at the top of the market. Just Dreaming, Serene Miss, $3.50. Just Dreaming, Serene Miss $6, Manhattan Mist $7, and News Fan $8.
Yep, well, Just Dreaming and Serene Miss, both with Chris Lees. Aaron Bullock's ridden them both to their qualifier wins. Manhattan Mist and News Fan, both with Kim Waugh. I was happy for Kim that News Fan got in, because on Friday morning news came through that Uptown Lad, who was so good at Hawkesbury last week, suffered a tendon injury and is out of the provincial championship, which is bad luck. But been a terrific series so far, still two legs to go.
Who's Aaron Bullock to choose?
He was asked that question yesterday by our good friend Gary Harley, and he sat on the fence. He said, I'd be happy to ride either, which is fair enough too. You know, they're both in great form. Just Dreaming was beaten a length into seventh spot in a Group 1 Coolmore yesterday, Jim.
Well, there you go.
Mm.
So, good form around that. 13:53:53, that's the open line number. We've got our talk topic that's been going strongly on the SMS
before
there,
you Roman? Get to that, we do have a little text from our good friend Judy. Morning team. Okay, Jimmy. I'll leave it to Sophie.
Yeah, well, I asked, you said, you know, who has to put up with who, and that was the debate, and I said, well, Judy, don't weigh in on it. But she did. She couldn't help herself. Couldn't help yourself, could you, Judy?
See, there you go. You almost offered it. When you get a good dummy spit, for our listeners out there, obviously they can't see us, but when you do, I'll let you know, because Jimmy stands up and the arms start flailing around. And
like a wounded seagull.
Yeah, very angry.
Is that what they used to call Mark Richards?
That's right.
The wounded seagull. Because of his surfing song. Yeah. Jimmy, we aren't Mexican. We aren't in Melbourne. It's the NRL, not the AFL. It's not the flag. Cheers, Gunny. Yeah, appreciate that, Gunny. I did say that.
Jim. Opa, Jim.
Saints don't miss tackles in the middle, really. They missed plenty in the first half on Thursday. Another game these Sharks gave away. Rod from Nowra. I'm not so sure with you, Rod from Nowra. I don't know about that. I think the Dragons are a very, very good defensive side.
They did make a lot of mistakes, the Sharks, their second half, didn't
they? Well, mistakes is different to missing tackles.
Yeah, a lot of mistakes. I guess you invite the opposition back into the contest, don't you, when you continually drop the ball.
Yeah.
But then you've got to be good enough to capitalise on those chances, which St George did.
If Peter Beattie knew anything about rugby league, he would know that Cronulla are the Sharks. How could their notoriety as the most unsuccessful club in NRL history have passed him by? Beattie should resign out of embarrassment. Or be sacked for incompetence. That's big, coming from Don from Carlton. So there you go. 1353-53, the open line number. Let's get the callers on the line there. We've got Dougie there. Hello, Doug.
G'day, Ray. G'day, Jimmy.
Good morning, Doug. Yes. Terrific. How are you, Doug?
Not bad. Yes, I was talking about a player in St George called Ewan Aiken.
Ewan, yep. Aiken, mm-hmm. The centre, yep.
He should be in the blue side. I reckon he'll get a call up to the Australian team too. Please,
I tell you what, Jimmy, he's not the tallest player out there, but he's nuggety, he's tough, he's got great leg drive, hasn't he? Like,
strong.
He's so strong. That try he scored, he had blokes all around him, his leg drive got him over the line.
Gee, that was really good. Mm. Yeah, we want to talk to Paul McGregor about that, Dougie. The coaching there with Gareth Widdop and what he does. Widdop just knew he had Ewan Aiken and Ricky Latelli,
yep,
in a one-on-one, mm-hmm, situation.
Get
so he just
Ewan
went
Aiken.
Bang, gave, yep, it to him straight away, had the winger outside him, kept him away with a little, yep, show, and then was too strong and quick on the outside to get him. Ewan Aiken, the only thing I have an issue with Ewan Aiken is,
yeah,
he doesn't pass a lot, Doug. Jason Nightingale's been screaming for the ball a couple of times.
He's had a couple of chances too, hasn't,
oh,
he? But I don't know. But he's going well. He can score try, which is a plus for St George Illawarra. And he's off to a good start, Doug. Whether he makes Origin team, I don't know.
My old Penrith Panthers won the Justy too, and I was shocked.
2 weeks in a row, 14-0 down. Yeah, they're giving you their heart attack stuff to watch. But again, the Rabbitohs sort of almost invited the Panthers back into that game with probably their ball control in the second half. Their kicking game went missing. And that's when Cleary and Maloney took control.
It was a very good physical performance from the Panthers yesterday. Good on you, Dougie. You appreciate
As it was
that
second
call.
Half against Parramatta too.
That's
they
right.
Monstered Parramatta in the second half.
Yeah. Hello, Sabah.
Hey, lads.
Morning, Sabah.
That's a coincidence that the Tigers have won twice with a score of 10-8.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
And we're sitting watching the telly yesterday, watching the racing, which my lady and I love. Mm-hmm. And as they're walking around the mounting paddock, there's a jockey had a clover leaf on his collars.
On his collars? Who was that, Raymond?
On his collars.
And she said, it's St. Patrick's Day, and you wouldn't want to know. I can't remember. My mind's gone, but I can't remember. But it won. It had the colours. It had a big green.
Was that in Sydney?
Was that Rose Hill?
Was that at Rose Hill, Sav? Was that elsewhere?
Either there or Melbourne. We get both of them on.
Yeah.
Can we watch?
It might have been interstate, but don't hold me to that. If it was at Rose Hill, I probably missed it. But anyway, I think it was interstate.
You've narrowed it down for us, Sav. So. Raymond?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bit of homework for you there during the ad break.
St. Patrick's Day, yeah.
1353-53 is the open line number. We've got Matty on the line there. G'day, Matt.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Yeah, really
morning,
well,
Matt.
Mate.
I've got, obviously, John McEnroe, the best ever.
Oh, yeah.
The you can't be serious line.
And the other one, I don't know his name, but remember that soccer player that kicked the ball boy?
Was it the A-League player who went and grabbed the ball from the ball?
He pushed him
boy.
Over.
Yeah.
Pushed him over.
There was one in the EPL as well that he actually full-on kicked the ball boy. Yeah.
Some of them need kicking every now and then.
The A-League was pretty bad as well.
Yeah, well, he went and sort of grabbed the ball off the ball boy, didn't he? The guy in the A-League.
The
one in the EPL, if you can find it, or I can find it, I'll send it through.
He actually kicked the ball boy, did he?
Full-on kicked him, yeah.
Because he wouldn't give him the ball.
Wow. That is terrible.
Sounds like something a Liverpool player would do.
No, come on, Matt. You're better than that, Jim. You're better
By
than
the
that.
Way, did you see the score, Raymond, this morning in the Liverpool game?
Yeah, 3-0, the good guys, wasn't it?
Ended up 5-0. Ended up 5-0 to Watford, against Watford. So that was at Anfield too, by the way.
I think Tanya's just told me Glenn Munsey just rang. Unforgotten might have worn the clover.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, Unforgotten,
who won the,
by the way,
Farlap Stakes.
Part-owned by Peter Tighe, who had a great day. He also part-owned...
Gee, things are going tough for Peter Tighe, aren't they?
Winner of the first multifaceted.
Part-owner of Winx.
And also part-owner of Winx, so he's having a good trot. So.
Yeah, having a good trot.
Funny how it works with it.
What did he say? There were 17 people who've come up to him now and said they were the underbidders, not Winx.
He did wait 25-odd years for his first Group 1 winner, so he invested a lot in the sport.
The Group 1 winner?
Mm.
Like, you have a winner at Kemblock during cartwheels.
It's the most exciting thing to happen.
Exactly. 13:53:53. That's the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Graham Begg, Tony McAvoy, and your calls.
Your business is ready to grow in brand new ways.
Your business needs cash to help attract brand new customers.
But the banks keep telling you the same old story. No.
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 Turn that no around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes using just 3 bank statements. The cash you need to grow your business could be in your account in just one business day. Visit ondeck.com.au. OnDeck, the small business loan specialist.
Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Tricolours Racing and Syndications invite you to an open day at Pride Racing. On display will be Yearlings by All Too Hard, Hinchinbrook and Your Song. Hear Joe Pride's thoughts on all our yearling purchases with shares available. Everyone is welcome and morning tea will be provided. That's 9:30 a.m. Sunday, March 25. Pride Racing, Stroud Street, Warwick Farm. RSVP to James at tricolours.com.au. Authorised rep AFSL 336964.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray, 7:41 on your Sunday morning. And a quick update, Roger Federer out of jail at Indian Wells. Lost the first set 5-7, won the next two 6-4, 6-4. I think he's 17-0 for the year so far.
Hasn't lost in 2018.
Yeah, his best start since 2004 or something.
Wow.
For the great man. So
yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Off to a flyer. Yesterday, Jimmy, you mentioned how exciting the two-year-old racing was, and it has been right through the autumn so far, and we're set up for a blockbuster Golden Slipper next week. And the trainer with the favourite, Tony McAvoy, has been good enough to join us on the line this morning. Tony, good morning, and congratulations on yesterday. And the first question we need to know is how Sunlight pull up after her win yesterday?
Yeah, thank you, Ray. Good morning. Look, she's pulled up beautifully. She's just in such a good zone at the moment, this filly. We came in this morning and her bin was empty, and we took her out for a trot and a walk, and she was lovely and free, legs are cold. So just very, very, very exciting and great relief to see the way she's pulled up. And she's 503 kilos this morning, and she was 509 yesterday before the race. So only lost 6 kilos in that really hot day. Mm. Gee, it got hot for those young horses yesterday.
Yeah, it did.
But really
she handled it well, though, Tony, didn't she? I was watching the parade before and even after the race. She handled it pretty well.
Yeah, she did. She did, Ray. And I think thanks to going to the Gold Coast, where we felt that heat and that pressure and that... humidity and that, which we don't get in Melbourne and in Adelaide. So I think that really has put her in very good stead. And, I couldn't be more pleased with how she ran, and secondly, how she's come out of the race.
Yeah, I think they're claiming her north of the border as a Queensland horse. But anyway, we can move. They do that sort of thing, Tony. You've got to be aware of those Queenslanders. You're going for the quick backup again, as was so successful in the Magic Millions. How did you discover that the quick backup or this Sunlight is suited by that?
Yeah, probably stumbled on it a bit, Jimmy. Look, we went to Queensland and we wanted to run in the Callaway Gal and then have another run into the Magic Millions. Well, she drew 18 in the Callaway Gal and she was above herself and not wound up at all for that race. And being such a competitor, I thought, well, she'll do too much in this race and we might flatten her and might lose her. So we decided not to go to that race, and then we re-diverted, which to give her the two runs in, which meant she had to run the week before at the Gold Coast. So she won at the Gold Coast, ran the week before at the Gold Coast, and backed up and did a peak performance in the Magic Millions. So that sort of gave me the confidence that if I had to do that again or wanted to do that again, she'd handle it.
Mm. Tony, it looks like you've covered all your bases meticulously with this super prep, but the one thing you can't control is the weather, and the forecast isn't great for Sydney this week. It wouldn't be Sydney Autumn Carnival without some rain. Any inkling about how Sunlight could handle a potential wet track come next Saturday?
Yeah, look, that would make me really nervous, Ray. I've got no reason to say that. Like, she's never failed on it, never had really any experience on it, but she's a gross round, heavily built filly that's got a lot of speed, and of course rain dulls speed. So that's something I wouldn't be that excited about. But in saying all that, there's nothing I'd say this filly can't do either. I mean, until she's proven she doesn't handle it, we've got to go in with some confidence, because everything we've asked her to do, she's been able to achieve.
Was also talked about, I think you might have made mention of it, Tony, about improvement in Sunlight over the course of the week. Where can you see her improving?
Just in fitness. Just in fitness and toughness. Now, the thing that I have learned about this filly, Jimmy, is that when you gallop her, the next 4 or 5 days, she gets on this incredible high.
Right.
It really stimulates her. And if you go along just in hand work and don't test her, she just goes along normal and, you know, it's all okay. But when you gallop her, she's up on her toes the next, you know, the next few days. She really, it puts her on a high. So I think, one, we'll get that. She won't get back anywhere near that 509 now. She'll stay at around 503, 502, 504 going into this race this week.
Yep.
And that's significant as well. So that's where I think that she can just come up that little bit. Not that she has to come up much, I don't think. We don't need to change her too much.
Yeah. Best gate for you?
Yeah.
Well, look. If there is a little bit of rain around, I don't think I'd like to draw it too far in. I know that sounds crazy, saying that, but somewhere in the middle, would be perfect, I would have thought, because as you saw there yesterday, for whatever reason, no one was that keen to go near the railway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even though it walked magnificent, that track, walking it, to me, not that I'm an expert track walker, but I walked it on Thursday and I walked it yesterday again with Luke Curry, and it walked beautifully.
Yeah.
And yet, amazingly, no one really wanted to go down in there.
And, Tony, that's what Rosehill's like almost each and every week in Sydney. You'll find the jockeys generally with the rails in the true or 3 metres out, etc., like to get two or three horses away from the inside for whatever reason. That's traditionally how they tend to ride that track.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, you know, I'd like to be able to have that opportunity to ride it like that.
Yep.
That's where that barrier would come into play.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest threat, Tony?
Look, clearly Written By. He was very good. He's unbeaten. You've got to respect that, of course. And, you know, a lot of people are telling me, oh, it was just an average Blue Diamond. But you know what? You can only beat what's there. And he did beat him. I thought Performer, he's clearly got talent, but he's a bit fussy, isn't he? The pressure of a Golden Slipper, if you're a bit fussy, normally I would say that it's short those horses out. And of course, you've got to respect Gay in this race with her fault as well. But, the horses that have earned their spot, like, it's $130,000 or $140,000 to get into the race this year. So I think they have all earned their respect, these young horses, to be in the race.
Yeah, I think that's the highest ever sort of benchmark in terms of the minimum prize money to get in Super history, which says a lot. And the thing about the two-year-olds this season, generally speaking, they've held their form, haven't they, Tony? The Sunlights, the Written Buys, the Esterjabs, the Santosses perform apart from that one hiccup. So we're going into a blockbuster Golden Super next week, and you've got the filly in terrific form, and we really appreciate you joining us on a Sunday morning, Tony.
Can I just ask before you go, Tony, you talk about horses and the pressure of a Golden Slipper. I was lucky enough to be in the mounting yard, I think it was 2012, Raymond?
Yes,
And I, the electricity in that vicinity was just amazing. How are you going to be on Saturday?
Oh, no, I'll be fine. I've been doing this for a long time. I'll be anxious, of course, and excited and anxious about, because I just want things to go well and go right. All we need as trainers, I believe, is have an opportunity. Yeah. We've presented our horse the best we can, and then the biggest disappointment in this business is when you don't get your opportunity and you never know what might be. Mm. So as long as we get an opportunity, and as you saw yesterday, there were some horses there that tried to soften my filly up in the mid stages. Yeah. I think they ran a 10-3.
Yep.
And I think she sent a very strong message that if someone wants to do that, they do it at their own peril.
Yeah, no, she's so genuine, and she's right in this Golden Slipper. Tony, thanks for joining us this morning. I hope this week goes smoothly for you, and best of luck for the Golden Slipper next Saturday.
Thank you very much, Ray.
Thanks, Tony.
Jimmy.
Tony McAvoy there, trainer of Sunlight. She is the $3.50 favourite at tab.com.au.
What a race this year.
For the Golden
Slipper.
What a
race.
There you go. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend.
Sky Racing has every angle covered for this year's Autumn Carnival.
With more camera angles than ever, you can get right to the heart of the action.
There's real-time information on every horse in every race and detailed analysis from our experts covering all the angles you need to pick your winners.
Catch all the action of the Autumn Carnival live on Sky Racing.
Only on Foxtel. Gamble responsibly.
Inglis presents the Chairman's Breeding Prospect Sale. The finest selection of the most elite breeding stock on the market. Thursday, April 12th, Riverside Stables, Sydney. Join the Chairman's Sale Revolution. For information, visit inglis.com.au.
So Country 2018. 46 tracks featuring Sam Hunt, Chris Stapleton, Kenny Chesney with Pig. And there's so much more on So Country 2018.
There are a couple in front of Moa, who's starting to close in strongly. Mighty Lucky, the inside goes well. Then Duke of Valentinois on Supply and Demand. Fabrizio's trying to come back on Royal Tudor, but Duke of Valentinois letting down. God's in him up the fence, but Duke of Valentinois drawn clear in the cup from God's in him. Then Pajaro rattling home, but Duke of Valentinois got them beaten. Duke of Valentinois won the cup.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. 7:52 on your Sunday morning. We just spoke with Tony McAvoy. We'll now speak with Graham Begg. Written By was so impressive, I thought, yesterday. He's a magnificent-looking colt, and he just keeps winning, and he's right on target for next Saturday. Graham, good morning. Congratulations on yesterday's win. And as we asked Tony McAvoy earlier, I think the first question we need to know is how's Written By pulled up from yesterday?
Well, Lewis, I'm back in Melbourne, but the results are very positive. He pulled up very well. Even when he came straight after the race, he head straight to feet in, and the temperature's good this morning.
Terrific, yeah. And he was so good yesterday, Graham. What impressed me was he had to do it at both ends, and I know that wasn't a big margin, but I think the second colt's a smart horse, Sandbar, and you put a margin on the rest of the field and ran time.
That's correct. You know, the horse has got this wonderful will to want to win, and you know, he's a real racehorse. You know.
Yeah.
You know, he's never been headed. Once he's hit the front, and you know, he's got this determination that's all he wants to do, find the line.
Yeah, he's a winner. I know we were discussing it with you yesterday, Graham, but the forecast for Super Week, it's just normal in Sydney, isn't it, Graham? Rain for Slipper Day, it looks like. We're probably going to have a track that's going to be rain affected to a certain degree. That throws up more questions than answers for a lot of the runners, but at least you have that knowledge of Written By winning on a heavy track on debut at Sandown back in the spring.
Yeah, that's correct. Look, when he ran on a heavy track at
fan and we had no idea he handled it. He'd never seen one before. So, you know, to his, you know, excuse me, his credit, you know, he just handled it. He's just a, you know, professional race horse.
Is that his best attribute, Graeme? Just that he's very genuine, he's no fuss, he just goes out and does his job.
Gets the job done, that's him. No thrills, he doesn't get many accolades. You know, I noticed in the press in Sydney, they didn't rate him very highly, and, you know, but he's, you know, his horse that just wants to get everything done, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was, as I said, great yesterday. Barry draw is always important in a Golden Slipper. I think yesterday you told me, Graeme, you like to draw inside 10 in an ideal world.
I think so. I think so. Like, it's not impossible from the outside, but, you know, you've got to do a lot of work to get across. And, you know, if you can draw a nice gate, that'll be great.
Yeah. Great to see your father there yesterday, Neville. And he's, of course, the owner and breeder of Written By. He won a Golden Slipper with Dark Eclipse as a trainer in 1980. And he looks fit, hale and hearty as well, Graeme.
Yeah, no, I think Written By's keeping him young. He's getting a lot of enjoyment out of it. And, you know, be able to breed a horse of his quality and ability, you know, it's a feather in his cap.
Exactly. Graeme, obviously it was great to see you back home yesterday. You're sort of rebuilding that your training career out of Melbourne, and you took a couple of years off. Was it just a chance to freshen up, look at life differently, because you've been in racing all your life, basically?
Yeah, definitely. Recharge your batteries, and things just weren't working out in Sydney, and we had to change tack a bit, and anyway, we ended up down here in the Mornington Peninsula and enjoying it.
Beautiful part of the world, Graeme, down there.
Yeah, definitely. Look, we train off a beautiful farm owned by a gentleman called Jonathan Munn, farm called Pinecliff. We co-share with Anthony Friedman. But, you know, very, very good area for the horses. They enjoy it a lot. It's very peaceful. Got our own gallop, so there's not a need to have to go away to gallop too often. But, yeah, no, it's really, really good.
And talking to you during the week, Graeme, the thing that struck me was that because you have that, I guess it's a private training complex, if I can use that expression, Graeme, you can gallop your horses whichever direction you want. So Written By had plenty of experience going to Sydney Way before Saturday.
Oh, yeah, no, our grass track is it's an uphill grass track, so it's predominantly Sydney Way. So, he galloped Sydney direction all his life from the time he started going on. Doing fast work.
Yeah, exactly. No, he was terrific yesterday. Got on the right leg straight away. Graeme, Barry draw Tuesday, very important. Weather forecast all week will be important as well. But to your eye, Written By is right on song. Main dangers next Saturday?
Oh, no doubt. The filly won yesterday. She's you know, good filly. She's benchmark, isn't she? So, you know, we'll just fly under the radar and see if we can get the job done next week.
Have you had many runners in a Golden Slipper before, Graeme?
I think my last runner in the Golden Slipper was his father, Rick and Tycoon.
Okay.
And unfortunately, Drew went outside gate, so he didn't get a chance to get on the track. And,
that's right.
And that was history, yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully the Barry draw's kinder for you on Tuesday. You've done a great job with this colt. You looked magnificent in the yard yesterday. And just a touch of improvement too, I think, Graeme?
Yeah, I just, you know, after he pulled up and he had a little bit of a ridge down his back and... he's a very clean-winded horse, but, but one thing, he's got this, you know, great ability to recover, and he's such a good doer in the stable. You know, he just never leaves a note, so, you know, he's very, very tough.
Yeah, I think there was a telling tweet, a picture you put out late yesterday afternoon, of Written By his head straight back into the feed bin after the race, which was great news. Look, Graeme, great to see you yesterday. Congratulations with the win. The very best of luck during Slipper Week, and he's hoping Written By runs a big race for you next Saturday.
Thanks very much.
Thanks,
catch
Graeme.
You soon.
Sure,
bye.
Mate. There he is, Graeme Begg. What a win that was by Written By. What a Golden Slipper we've got for next week. Jimmy, it's going to be a super Golden Slipper. Are you back with us, Jim?
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if everyone realises the massive feud I have with Graeme Begg.
Forget about dummy spits. This is the blow-up of all time. I'd hate to be Producer Steve. Second week in the job. It's not Producer Steve's fault.
No, I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying that Graeme Begg and I have a long history. We don't get on, so I've chosen to stay.
The nicest blokes, Graeme Begg.
No,
how can
I'm
you
joking.
Say that?
I'm joking. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties here, ladies and gentlemen. So right now we need to say good morning to Tanya for the first time with the scratchings around New South Wales.
Be careful, Tanya.
You're introducing me because I can't hear a thing.
You can't hear it? Hang on a minute.
Just be careful, Tan.
All right, testing, folks, if you can hear me. We've got racing in New South Wales today at Scone. It's the country championship qualifier, and also racing at Albury, starting with Scone, where the weather is fine, the track are good for, the rail is true, and there are 16 scratchings. Race one, takeout number 4, Zoom and Tour. 6, Oakfield Chaparral, 15, Orzira, and 18, Whiskey Apple, 4, 6, 15, and 18. Race 2, number 11, I'm a Crumpet, take out number 11. The third is Clear. Out of race 4, number 1, Progression, and 8, Leaven of Malice, 1 and 8. Out of race 5, number 4, Mistress Mace, and 9, Fly Me a Miss, 4 and 9. Race 6, number 6, Mina Harker, and 10, Miss Redoble, 6 and 10. Out of race 7, number 15, Al Sebring, 16, Bills a Goody, 17, Majestic Padrill, and 18, Invincible Bot, 15, 16, 17, and 18 out of race 7. And race 8, take out 14, Axel Bling, number 14, out of race 8 at Scone. Albury, the weather is fine, the track a good 3, the rail is out 3 metres from the 1200 to the 400, true the remainder, and 10 scratchings. Race 1, take out 2, Polar Star, number 2. Race 2, number 2, Bedazzled. 3, Hayington Place. 7, Star of Serena. And 11, Canford Queen, 2, 3, 7, and 11. Races 3 and 4 are clear. Go to race 5, take out 6, Delivered, number 6. Race 6, number 9, Not Too Sure. 10, Class Clown, and 14, Willie White Sox, 9, 10, and 14. And race 7, take out 5, Ava Party, number 5 out of race 7 at Albury.
Thanks, Tan. Tips today for this afternoon at Scone. Country Championship qualifier heats at Scone today. Race 6, number 2, Table Mountain, looks really hard to beat. In the Country Championship qualifier, one of my favourite horses, Sun Craze, just needs a touch of luck for Corey Brown and he can win. And over to Albury this afternoon. I'm not sure what price. Race 3, number 3, Nothing Like Harry, Jim, but it'll be winning. Hopefully we can get some sort of odds. Down to race 6, number 3, Bank on Henry.
Bank on Henry. There you go. We can do that, hopefully. Hopefully we can bank on you. And if we can't, then we'll go to Priscilla Smith, who tipped 7 from 8 last week.
She's on fire, Priscilla.
Yeah. So if anyone could send us in Priscilla's tips, that'd be fantastic. We can replace Ray's with those. 1353 53.
Rock solid you.
The open line number. We'll take a break here. It's news time. We'll be back with more on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
I'm Sarah Womby. A number of out-of-control grass and bushfires are threatening lives and homes in Victoria's southwest, with fears the fires could change direction with the wind. The Weather Bureau's Dean Stewart says wind gusts reached 110 kilometres per hour in the southwest overnight. He says they've eased, but has told the ABC it'll continue to pose a challenge for firefighters.
They will shift around to a westerly. Those westerlies will then increase in strength, become quite gusty, particularly about coastal areas. A chance we could see some further gusts up around 90 to 100 kilometres an hour.
There's a total fire ban in the southwest and central districts, including Melbourne and Geelong. And in New South Wales, total fire bans have been issued for more than half of New South Wales, with hot and windy conditions set to create dangerous conditions. Malcolm Turnbull is set to wrap up his power with Southeast Asian leaders focused on the twin issues of trade and terrorism. The three-day special summit of leaders from the 10-country Association of Southeast Asian Nations and Australia winds up today, with discussions continuing on regional security after signing off on plans to bolster counter-terrorism cooperation following Saturday's counter-terrorism conference. The package includes assistance to crack down on terrorism financing, ensuring anti-terror laws of best practice, and programs to help police use electronic evidence to prosecute suspects. Mr. Turnbull says the online terror threat is only going to grow.
It means we have a new generation of criminals and terrorists who are attempting to divide us by exploiting these platforms that were designed to bring us together. And the use of social media and encrypted messaging applications is a challenge for us all.
The body of a helicopter pilot has been found in waters off Port Hedland in Western Australia after his chopper came down on Wednesday. The Pilbara Ports Authority says the 44-year-old's body and the wreckage of the craft were found yesterday. The chopper came down about 30 kilometres off Port Hedland, with a second pilot, believed to be aged 64, rescued from a life raft shortly after the crash. In other news, South Australia has a new Premier with Stephen Marshall leading the Liberals to a decisive victory in yesterday's state election. Labor has retained the federal Melbourne seat of Batman, overcoming the Greens' march on inner city seats. And David Honey has easily won the state Western Australian seat of Cottesloe, replacing former Premier Colin Barnett. And the sacked Deputy Director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, has accused the Trump administration of acting with malice against him and the Bureau. The BBC's Chris Butler has more.
In 2016, as Hillary Clinton was running for president, she was being investigated because of questions about emails she received on a private server while she was the US Secretary of State. Mr. McCabe authorized information to be given to the media, something the Department of Justice said he was not entitled to do. And an internal FBI investigation found he had not been completely honest when asked about it. But Andrew McCabe says he's been sacked for political reasons, and he claims that President Trump brought much of that pressure. In a lengthy statement, he accused the White House of declaring war on both the FBI and the special counsel's investigation into allegations of Russian interference in the election 2 years ago.
This is Air News. The Warriors have sent a clear message to the NRL after their 20-8 victory over Gold Coast. We're only going to get better. The club has started their NRL campaign with back-to-back wins for just the third time in club history yesterday, running in 4-1 against the Titans, who struggled to breach a committed Warriors defence. In the other two games, the Penrith Panthers beat the South Sydney Rabbitohs 18-14 and West Tigers defeated Melbourne Storm 10-8. Despite Newcastle coming away with the points, coach Ernie Merrick has heaped plenty of praise on Wellington after the Jets' 1-0 A-League victory in Auckland. Jason Hoffman's 43rd minute goal proved the difference between the sides, one the Jets flying high in second place, the other sitting bottom of the table. But Merrick rated the Phoenix the better team on the night. Tottenham's Christian Eriksen scored twice in a 3-0 victory at Swansea as the North London club breezed into the FA Cup semi-finals. Eight-time FA Cup winners Tottenham are looking to lift the trophy for the first time since 1991. And Brumbies coach Dan McKellar insists his team had never panicked after their tough start to the Super Rugby campaign. The Brumbies finally broke a two-match losing streak last night against the Sharks 24-17 in Canberra. The Brumbies' next game is a grudge match with the New South Wales Waratahs on March 31st. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz. By DeBortley, of course. Here's the traffic.
The now or never clearance at Freedom ends today. Hundreds of quality seasonal items are reduced to clear to make room for their new season. Snap them up and save before they're gone for good. In Collaroy, there's a contraflow in place on Pittwater Road at East Bank Street due to an earlier accident. In the city, a police operation has the Western Distributor Market Street on ramp and exit lane to Harris Street closed. Detours in place. And in Kirribilli, look out for special event clearways on Kirribilli Avenue and Carabella Street. Have you ever thought the bin's too far away? It's only a ciggy butt or that someone else will pick it up for you? Think again. There's no excuse for littering. Don't be a tosser. If it's not in the bin, it's on you. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love our $50,000 projected Big Six pool on the Country Championships qualifier meeting at Scone today. That's right, $50,000. Don't miss a minute of the action with Sky Racing live on the Tab app. You can even watch while you scroll our great odds and bet. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
I'm Michael from Landscape Excellence. This year, we hired a landscape gardener through Nova Employment. His work ethic and superb attention to detail makes him a very valuable employee.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather, hot, sunny and windy today. Winds northwesterly 15 to 30 k's, increase into up to 50 k's in the afternoon. 0% chance of any rain Sydney heading for a top temperature of 40 degrees, last blast of summer. James, what's the temperature currently at Summer Hill and for Scone this afternoon?
Well, Summer Hill, it's 21 degrees right now. It actually was 20 a minute ago. It's got, seriously.
It's soaring.
So there you go. And it's Scone today. Hot and sunny. They've covered themselves in glory, haven't they, the boys at the BOM?
What else are they supposed to say? It's hot and sunny.
What do you think it'll be today? Hot, 39 degrees.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Big hour coming up for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Zorba very shortly.
You're thinking what job you're doing then, Lee? That's pretty good for me, wasn't it? There was that pregnant pause. Up there. You're thinking, where am I this morning?
What's the open line number?
You have been befuddled today by technical issues. I've got to say, producer Steve and producer Tanya have come through in the crunch.
Well, one thing I'll say is this. Thank heavens it didn't happen 2 weeks earlier, because poor old producer Jeremy, he'd still be bumbling his way around out there.
You can't say
well
that.
Well done, producer Steve. Well done, producer Tanya. You've been able to fix what was some really serious technical issues here. And I'm just so thankful, touching wood,
Jeremy,
producer Jeremy, who probably left the studio in the way.
He might be listening. Good morning, Jeremy. How are you going, mate?
Ridiculous.
It's not Tubes. It's legitimate. So anyway, Andrew Adkins has won his first Group 1. He did it yesterday on Daisy Doom.
That was good for me, wasn't it?
You're very good. Very good. Event Cinemas quiz coming up. Score update.
6-4, James Smith.
And, of course, your calls on 1353 53, the open line number. It's been an incredible start to the rugby league season. We cannot believe that the four sides are at the top of the league. And just to go through them again, the Dragons, the Warriors, the Panthers, the West Tigers with a chance to be joined by the Newcastle Knights.
Amazing. What odds at start of the season?
Oh, couldn't you get a good price on that? Let's find out what our man Zorba has to say about it all. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, boys. Wow. What a start. Mm. It's amazing, isn't it? I sat there and watched West Tigers last night. They're loving 10-8, 10-8. That's going to be their new theme song. They've scored just 2 tries in 160 minutes against Premiership heavyweights Roosters and the Storm. But Ivan Cleary and his gutsy Tigers, they're reminding us all that success starts with defence in rugby league. Three super veterans on the field last night, and old Benji was the star.
Yeah.
He drove the Tigers to victory on a night which was supposed to be a party night for Billy Slater. And I wonder whether, you know, Billy, you could tell that he was nervous from the start. Mm. He had his family there in a private box, his wife and kids. They do it well, the milestone games in Melbourne.
Yeah.
But fairy tales often don't come true in rugby league. And last night, the West Tigers jumped out of the cake and spoiled it. They were unbelievable.
Oh, Zorb, the penalty count against them, particularly in the second half, how the Storm didn't overrun the Tigers. The Tigers of old, of yesteryear, would have been beaten by 40 points, but there's some real steel in that defence this season.
Well, 9 won the penalties in the second half. I mean, how does a side...
They weren't that bad, surely.
...with one of the greatest sides of... beat one of the greatest sides of the modern era, like they did last night. They frustrated the Melbourne Storm, and the Melbourne Storm made mistakes like we've never seen before. And really, it raises the position of halfback again on how important it is to sides. Mm. Without the calmness of Cooper Cronk and that young kid who's going to be a terrific player, Brodie Cross, he looks like a young Cooper Cronk.
Yeah.
He looks like a spitting image of him.
Yeah.
But, boy, he's got a long way to go. You could see the Melbourne Storm players last night getting frustrated with him, and he was getting frustrated with his own performance. He'll learn from that, but it rises the question, like, you can't win this comp unless you've got somebody driving the car, and that driver's in Jersey 7. And I looked at Jonathan Thurston on Friday night, and the old champion... He tries his heart out on every play, but how many times do the twinkle toes of Nicarima and Milford and the speed of them leave him stranded, and he had to turn and chase, and he would often be the last man in the chase, but he still tried his heart out. But I'm glad it's his last year, because you can tell that the legs at this stage of the season look like they're not what they were. Maybe halfway through the year he'll pick it up and maybe he's going to time it, but gee, halfback's important. Cleary, what a game from him. Mitchell Pearce last week, we saw him. Foran, the veteran. Cooper Cronk, the veteran, going strongly. Other clubs with halfbacks that that need to pick it up a bit. I continue to be impressed with St George. I thought they thoroughly deserved their win over Cronulla. And again, we go momentum. Momentum switches, they continue to make early season matches so unpredictable. 12, 14 and 18-point leads are no longer a Latham as their lead anymore. Penrith have been down 14-0 2 weeks at home and have run down Para and South. And really, the penalty switches in games too are playing a massive part. So too is this new idea to send blokes to the sin bin very quickly. Sides are having to battle away with one man short.
Zorba, should Jonathan Thurston have been charged for his shoulder charge?
On the score of what we've seen with other players, yes.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
They weren't easy on the great man. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that, but it makes it hard if a similar occurrence comes and a player gets rubbed out, and the media will be all over that and point out again the inconsistencies. I'm not going to get on to referees because we've bashed them up enough. It's a tough job. But boy, some need to pick up the slack a bit.
Wayne Bennett, press conference.
Wayne Bennett.
Press conference.
Mate.
Yeah.
He should go down to Suncorp today with a borrowed trumpet and get in front of that upright and play the last post. Because without the post, the Broncos be none from two. Scott Bolton, he was home and home. He was going to plunge into the in goal. And the Broncos would be none from two.
Yes.
And that crowd of 48,000 would have been silenced by the Cows. They were desperately unlucky not to win in the end. Broncos were much improved, but in the end, they should have been beaten.
Mm. It's a tired old theme, though, isn't it, of Wayne Bennett's sorb to blame the media for every little ill that the Broncos have to face.
Well, this is why no one outside of Brisbane now wants the Broncos to win.
Yep,
they're correct. The new Manly.
Mm. Oh, hang on. Settle down.
I reckon Zorb's right.
I think if you guys took a poll,
you'd find out
that the Broncos, with whinging Wayne in charge, are the new Manly. Mm.
Well,
and in saying
Manly earned their hate out of being successful. Mm. They're earning it now for other reasons.
And in saying that, Zorb, there were parts late in the first half and for a fair part of the second half, the Broncos played some terrific football on Friday night.
Yeah, they did, and they've got a couple of good forwards there that are really shaking it up and improve their side. There's a real change of the guard happening there. Tavita Pangai, he was awesome.
Good player.
Their best forward. And when you say that he was their best forward in a pack that contains Adam Glenn, Matt Gillette,
Josh McGuire,
all international players, Andrew McCulloch, I thought he made a big difference to the Broncos. And Lenky Wayne admitted that he made a mistake in the first round by not picking McCulloch in the number 9 jersey first up.
That was clear to everyone. We just got the admission from Wayne. That was the interesting thing. The Peter Beattie gaffe that we had on Monday night, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my thoughts are that I'm amazed. I can't believe that someone who suggested that he grew up loving rugby league, didn't know who the Cronulla Sharks were. I was watching it and I thought, is he having us on? And then it was obvious that he wasn't. And I don't think there's any excuse for it. I mean, you get appointed to a job like that, then you know your subject. I think he's a long way now to make that up, and it's going to be difficult. No excuses. Mm. I think. Well, Gus certainly was trying to ease him in. He didn't expect the answer he got. He nearly fell over, poor old Gus, off the chair.
What about the Manly salary cap issue. When are we going to get a resolution on that? Danny Widler, I presume you've seen it in Fairfax newspapers today, has written that there's a bit of a smoking gun, that Manly officials have seen an email that incriminates certain persons. Have you seen the email? What's the latest on the salary cap drama at Manly?
No, I haven't, and I don't suppose I will, and I have asked about it, and I don't think anybody's seen it, so I'm not sure where that is, whether it's true or not. I mean, Danny usually gets his facts right, so
yep.
I'm hoping that he might be right here in this one. But look, it's gone on for a long time. I suppose Todd Greenberg wants to get it right, but the longer it goes on, the more it looks like the match fixing. But there was nothing there.
Yep, watch this space. We'll hear a lot more about that.
Well, I'm hoping that. But like every supporter in the game, I think it needs to be settled.
Oh, once and for all.
They've got to get it right. So let's get it right.
Absolutely. Hey, so this afternoon, two big games, particularly it's an old-style Manly versus Power. I can't wait for this afternoon.
Someone's going to be 0-2.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a few 0-2s at the moment, like Cronulla, Bulldogs, Rabbitohs are 0-2. So neither Parramatta or Manly will want to join that group today. 38 degrees is supposed to be this afternoon in Sydney. Let's hope that there's at least a bit of a sea breeze down there at Lotto Land at Brookvale, because that's going to be massive. And last week we saw Penrith just score just before half time against Para. They went into the sheds and said to the coach, "They're gone." I can't believe that a side was gassed. Not a side coached by the man that's coaching them. I mean, he's driven them to great lengths in the off season, and Brad Arthur is a hard taskmaster, and so is his staff. So I find that hard to believe, but it's going to be a great game at Lotto Land today, and I think down in Canberra will deliver finally. I mean, they've got tries in them. Their big men ran out a bit of steam last week against the Titans after being down 24-6. Canberra lost that game. I don't think they'll lose it today in front of the big clap, and their coach must be screaming. I'm going to go Manly into Canberra at the line today.
Both at the line.
We led last week in both of those games and got run over on the Sunday. I hope we lead today and go on with it.
Manly -2.5 is $2 into Canberra. -3.5 is into $1.80. So there you go.
So I'm going for both the outsiders today.
No.
Is Canberra favourite?
Canberra's favourite, and the -3.5 has come into $1.80.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All so, right. But don't worry, there's value there for the punter. Good on you, Zorba. We'll speak again next week.
Okay, boys.
See you, Pete. There he is, Zorba. We'll tweet that out. And I'll tell you what we might do too. We might put a poll up on our Twitter page and say, who is the most hated club in the NRL? Is it Broncos or Manly? Just see what the
Broncos
listeners
think. Certainties now.
1353 53, the Apple Line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Tricolours Racing and Syndications invite you to an open day at Pride Racing. On display will be Yearlings by All Too Hard, Hinchinbrook and Your Song. Hear Joe Pride's thoughts on all our yearling purchases with shares available. Everyone is welcome and morning tea will be provided. That's 9:30 a.m. Sunday, March 25. Pride Racing, Stroud Street, Warwick Farm. RSVP to James at tricolours.com.au. Authorised rep AFSL 336964.
That is So Country 2018. 46 tracks featuring Sam Hunt, Chris Stapleton, Kenny Chesney with Pink, and there's so much more on So Country 2018.
Penrith Mazda, awarded Mazda Master Dealer for 2017. With over 300 vehicles, over 5 acres, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Right now, get a $1,000 go bonus on the whole range of 2017 CX-3, CX-5 and CX-9s. Plus, 12 months free rego, CTB and stamp duty on all CX-3s. Conditions apply. Penrith Mazda, your family-owned and operated Mazda dealer. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MD 18808.
El Mandan and Heartbreak City, what a finish to the Melbourne Cup. El Mandan putting his nose in front of Heartbreak City. They hit the line. El Mandan won it by a very narrow margin from Heartbreak City.
You're listening
to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. It's 8.23 on your Sunday morning, and this young man, Andrew Atkins, is just 20 years old, been 5 weeks into the senior riding ranks, and he woke up this morning as a Group 1 winning jockey.
How good is that?
Andrew's been good enough to join us online. Andrew, good morning. Congratulations on yesterday. And I guess, Andrew, has the win sunken in yet?
Yeah, good morning, guys. No, look, woke up this morning having that feel like you said being a Group 1 rider and, Group 1 winner, which is even better. But, look, I haven't really sunken in yet, but I'm over the moon.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Congratulations, Andrew. And the other thing about it is it's special too because not only your association with Ronnie Quinton, who, of course, trains Daisy Doom, but Daisy Doom herself, who you have a very good relationship as well. So I guess that makes it that little bit more special.
Yeah, it definitely does. And being in partnership with Daisy nearly her whole career, apart from, I think, 2 or 3 races, it's a great thrill to be able to win my first Group 1, especially on her, and then therefore Ron and our owners that have stuck by me and Ron the whole way through with her, and she's done an incredible job. And She's got the best strike rate. You know, she's never been out of the money. I think she's been out of the top 5 once in about 19 starts. So she's a pretty wonderful mare.
Yeah, she's remarkably consistent, isn't she, Andrew? And I spoke to you on Thursday morning at the Barrow Trials about the race, and it's very rare when you can talk to a jockey and he basically gives you a rundown of the race, exactly how it happens. You weren't worried about the barrier draw. You said Daisy Doom's gate speed would negate that wide draw. You get across outside of the leader and they'd have to run you down, and you didn't think they could, and they didn't.
No, that's exactly right. And like I said, it's not the first time she's drawn the outside, and I don't think with her strike rate it'd be the last time she's drawn the outside. And but she's got that beautiful natural speed where she can jump and put herself in the top 5 runners, and she does it with ease, and she's a real runner, so she can hold a nice high cruising speed and then quicken off that again. And she's just so gutsy and tough, and when they come at her, she tries again. So look, there's no better feeling than riding a horse like her that just tries so hard.
How are you feeling in this brave new world as a senior rider? I guess you're mucking out less stalls, so there's a positive from that point of view, Andrew, but getting plenty of rides. Are you obviously looking for more?
Yeah, that's correct. Things are going actually extremely well. You know, I was expecting it probably to be a little bit tougher when I come out, but things are going to plan as I'd love them to, and I'm getting great support by great owners and trainers, and things are happening sort of quick, and like I said, getting the support from the right connections and being able to put the writing on the wall is even better. So no, I couldn't be happier with the way things are going.
Yeah, Andrew, how do you divide your time now? As an apprentice, obviously, you would have ridden predominantly track work at Randwick. Now, as a senior jockey, are you riding elsewhere during the week?
Yeah, well, I do about 4 for Ron every day.
Yep.
Apart from a Friday, I'll go to Rose Hill and try and spread myself out there a little bit, just ride for different trainers. And and every fast morning, and a Tuesday, a Thursday and a Saturday, I'll go to Snowdon's, and I'll do some fast work there as well, and just try and spread myself out a bit. Mm. But my main track is at Randwick. Yeah.
Yep.
Who'd you ring first? Who'd you? I know that. I think your parents were there. Your sister wasn't. That she was very excited and proud of you. Who'd you ring first, Andrew?
I rang my dad first. They weren't actually at the races.
Oh,
okay. They were at home, and I rang them first, and then our beautiful owners. So no, it was great moment, and I couldn't be happier.
Andrew, can you celebrate? Could you celebrate last night? I know you got a ride today, so did you get a chance to go out and celebrate that win?
Yeah, we did. We got close friends and went and had a nice dinner and had a few wines. So it was a great time, and times like these, you appreciate your close friends and good times ahead,
Exactly. You know, it's a tough game. There's a lot of hours put in to get to this point, but congratulations, Andrew. Fantastic to see you win yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a popular win because Daisy Doom's one of those horses everyone loves. And fantastic, Andrew. Thanks for joining us this morning, and best of luck for the rest of the Autumn Carnival.
Not a problem. Thanks very much for having me on this morning.
Thanks, Andrew.
He's a great young fellow, isn't he, Andrew Adkins?
Speaks well,
isn't
he?
He's a Group 1 winning jockey, which is absolutely fantastic. So congratulations to him. We've had him on the program a couple of times, and he's been very good. Here we go. The SMS are flying in. G'day, guys. How long before Adrian rings up and bags Aaron Woods and says that Dean Pay is a myth? That's from Steve. Well, we'll set our clock to that one, just about, Steve.
Manly Manel's nailed it here.
Yeah, I couldn't wait to get to this, to be honest.
Yeah, you'd say that.
Morning, boys. Dummy Spitz would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when Tanya came back from the IGA and informed Ray that they have stopped making puffed wheats. I'm sure that would have ruffled the hair. Jeez, Manly Manel. How did you respond? Look,
Tanya's
I'm getting
nodding
it,
the
very
head,
nod, yeah. What? How did you respond, Ray?
Despondent, wasn't I? I was absolutely I was shattered.
Tears. Do you try it a crop of a hat, a drop of a hat, don't you?
Sad movies I do, yeah. I'm hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. Yeah.
Federer winning, that'll do it too.
He what won about this morning, did I tell you about that?
Oh, yeah. There we go.
It had to happen at some stage.
West Tigers' win last night was all the sweeter against that massive penalty count against them, the sin binnings against them, and referees Boss Smith against them too. That's from Parramatta.
They had a lot against them last night, didn't they, the Tigers?
And they found a way to win. And went behind.
And yeah, they did.
Had to come back from.
And talk about momentum shifts when Vunivalu dropped the ball right on the try line.
Didn't he ever shock her?
Gave him a chance. Here's one from Scooter. I like this one. Go to a quick break in a sec. Dummy Spit Chautauqua. I'm not running today.
Fair enough. Sounds a bit like Ray Thomas. 29 past 8 here on the Big Sports Breakfast
Week.
Right,
Ben James.
Sky Racing has every angle covered for this year's Autumn Carnival.
There's real-time information and detailed analysis from our experts covering all the angles you need to pick your winners.
Catch the Autumn Carnival live on Sky Racing.
Only on Foxtel. Gamble responsibly.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
I'm Shannon Earls from the SLA Makeup Academy. When we needed a new office assistant, we called the team at Nova Employment. They found us a great worker who puts in 110%. We couldn't be happier.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jim and Ray. We'll give Scooter a Chautauqua hat signed by John Hawkes, Wayne Hawkes, and Michael Hawkes.
Not Chautauqua.
Couldn't quite.
Still in the stalls.
Print on it.
So there you go. All right, Scooter, that's going to come your way. Now we've got a prize to give away. We've got the Winx hat to give away, and we've got some music. Courtesy of
Prize Pack as well,
little prize
Winx
pack,
runs next Saturday.
Best contribution, yes, runs next Saturday after Beast Mode yesterday for Kieran McAvoy. An update on Huey?
Chris Wallace said he spoke to Huey yesterday morning. I spoke to Huey on Thursday, but
yes.
Chris spoke to him yesterday morning. Huey's very confident he'll pass his concussion test, so to speak, on Monday, and we'll be back riding track work Tuesday morning and be ready for Winx next Saturday.
There you go.
And perform a Golden Slipper.
13:53:52, a bit of trepidation when he jumps on performer, gets legged up to performer, I would have thought.
Yeah, it was...
Given what happened last time?
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. But, he looked good in the trial and the blinkers. Any ad break, I'll show you, Jim. I'll get it up for you.
I'll look forward to that, Ray. 13:53:53.
You say with some sarcasm, I can see?
No. People could misconstrue what you were saying there. I haven't. G'day, Mick.
Yeah, g'day, Jimmy. I was just ringing up about Friday night when that fella got taken off for the 10-minute sin bin.
Which game are we talking?
Cronulla St George.
Thursday night?
Thursday night, yeah.
Yep.
And he took off and he tackled him and he just laid over him a touch and wouldn't let him up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work out how come when St George were attacking the Cronulla line, and that Cronulla give away about five penalties on their line just to hold them there and kept to stop them from, you know, scoring. How come they don't get a sin bin?
It's because...
Was it because that player was told a couple of times to stop doing it?
They deem it as a professional foul. So because there's a break in play, there's a real try-scoring opportunity, so they see it as a professional foul, as opposed to the perhaps a multiple times when you're slowing down the play, the ball on the try line.
It's splitting hairs, isn't it?
To a degree.
Next point is that if St George are on the Cronulla line, they're attacking.
Mm-hmm.
Attacking? Five times they tried to score the five times they wouldn't get off them. If they had got off of and played the ball quick, they'd have scored straight away.
Isn't that a professional foul, Jim?
Not in the initial incident. So if there's a long break made and they're tackled, and the tackle is made after a 60-metre run, 20 metres out from the try line, slow it down, then the defenders are waiting to get onside.
I know what you're saying, but you're splitting hairs. If they're on the rack and they're continually laying on the play the ball
How many penalties have they got to give them before they give them the sin bin?
Correct.
They give them 20 penalties?
Excellent question, Mick. And that's the thing. And that'll then change whether it's the same player that's doing it multiple times. Mm. So if you get three penalties for slowing it down, then the fourth penalty, you're starting to look for sin bin. If it's the same player the third time, then the third time you can look at a sin bin.
50-50 call.
It's a little bit of splitting hairs.
Yeah, prize pack for Mick. Really good call.
Good one, Mick. It is a good point, Mick.
Prize pack for you, Mick.
And by the sounds of it, you're a Dragon supporter, but I take your point.
Really good point. It is splitting hairs.
It is. It's a good point. I'm agreeing with you
finally,
on that one.
Finally. Hooray. First time in 8 years.
It took us a while to get there. But, you know, I think that counselling's paying off, Ray, that you and I are going to. It's fantastic. 1353 53, the open line number. The leather couches are
It's only 3 hours a week, Jim. It's all you've got to worry about. Adam's on the line.
What?
Adam, good morning.
The counselling or the show?
Adam, you there?
I am, Ray.
Yeah, how are you? What do you got for us, Adam?
I just want to congratulate James on a great call the other night.
Yeah, he was good on Thursday night, wasn't he?
Oh, he's outstanding. Yeah. Those tones of James Smith, just perfect. Is lovely, lovely to listen to.
Did you hear him this morning, Adam, when he didn't quite know where he was and he had to think hard a second? Big Sports Breakfast weekend show. He's got that many gigs, Adam. But
it's ridiculous,
he has got
Adam.
Some gigs, Jimmy, but he does have great shows.
He does.
His favourite radio man. I wish he was on Monday to Friday, to tell you the truth.
Can I send you out a cap at all, Adam?
You can send it to the captain, James.
What do you got for us, Adam? Thank you for the kind words.
Two Newcastle players many years ago in the English Premier League, the dummy spit, when they punched on with each other.
Oh, that's right.
Was it Kieran Dyer and Lee Bowyer?
Yeah, that's right.
Two.
And Alan Shearer's watching nearby, wasn't he, I think, by memory?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Late 90s, I think it was, or early 2000s.
That's a good one. I remember that one.
Yeah. Spot on.
That's a dummy spit for sure. Also, before I go, Frankie Cleary, the master trainer from Queanbeyan.
Yes.
Great man, Frank, yeah.
Yeah, happy anniversary, Frank Allen, sir. That was Thursday, I think it was. They had a nice celebration with the great man, Johnny.
How many years, Adam, do you reckon?
Oh, Frank'd be lucky to be 60, Frank. Goes, no, I don't know.
He'd be lucky.
No comment. I'm not going to.
Fair enough. It's been an enduring partnership, those two.
Enduring. Sue deserves a medal, too.
Yeah. Two great people.
Two great people. Anyway, have a great day, boys.
Good on you, Adam. Thanks so
appreciate
much.
Appreciate that. Good call. 1353 53.
Here's one from Burger at Culburra Beach. Morning, boys. Biggest dummy spit. Remember this? Nathan Brown slapping Trent Barrett on the sideline during a game. Remember that?
Who else was there?
Yeah.
Lance Thompson. Who was the other player?
Oh, gee, now you're testing.
Yeah. Little halfback. Yeah. I can't think of his name.
He keeps going, what are you thinking? Or George Costanza of Seinfeld chucking a dummy spit after having lost that. It's gone, Jimmy.
Yeah, you got it. There it is.
Yep, George Costanza of Seinfeld chucking a dummy spit about having Coco as a nickname instead of T-Bone. Remember that famous episode, that one? Yeah. Who else is on the sideline, Jimmy? Have you thought about it?
No, I'm trying to think of the halfback.
That was a bizarre episode, wasn't it?
It was strange. It was strange. It was so public, too. 1353 53. Charlie's there. G'day, Charlie.
Timmy. How are you, mate?
Very well. What do you got for us, Charlie?
Buddy, got a question for you.
Okay.
And Ray, of course.
Yep.
Just with the next Immortals coming up, the number nine Immortal, do they have to be an Australian? Can they be a Pommy or a Kiwi?
That is an excellent question because, and in fact, I sat down with Frank Pulitura from the National Rugby League and discussed
how they go about naming the next immortal. And I can run you through the process. It's a long and it's a storied one, but basically there are so many checks and balances associated with it, Charlie, but the outcome of it is this, that you do not have to be an Australian to be named the next immortal.
So who are you thinking, Charlie?
Oh, no, I was just thinking, like, you know, in the for the future, maybe like 11, 12 or 13, like not number 9, but, you know, obviously like Sam Burgess or Benji, just people that have changed the game, you know, the way the game's played, you know.
You know who it'll be, Charlie? You know who the first non-Australian immortal? Here's my tip.
Yep.
Jason Taumalolo.
Fair enough, too.
Okay.
He's got 9 years remaining on his 10-year contract. Mm, if he plays at the level that he's at now, he will go down as the best middle forward to have ever lived.
It's a phenomenon. He's a phenomenon.
So, hey, Jimmy?
Yes, Charlie?
Was it Ben Hornby or Matt Head getting slapped in the head as well?
No, we've just had someone else ring, and Brett Furman.
That's right.
That's Brett Furman.
That's the one.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. It was a good one.
Good call.
Good on you, Charlie.
So you don't have to be like beautiful.
You do not have to be an Australian because it's a reflection on the National Rugby League, and there are so many international players who play predominantly in the National Rugby League. So
prize pack for Charlie.
Absolutely. Stay on the line, Charlie. We'll send you out a prize pack courtesy of Sony Music as well. 1353 53, the open line number. As a Broncos fan, I don't even like them now. Got to get rid of Bennett. Took years for us to get over his last departure. Things started to go good again, and he wrecked two clubs, and some fool rehired him. It's not the people. It's not the Broncos people hate. It's Bennett. That's from H.
That's a good point.
So there you go. It's all for show. It's all to get the best out of his players. That's what it's for.
It must be a tired message, though, after a while. You're talking to young men. You know, this siege mentality against the media and everybody else and every other club. Like, seriously.
If you're a media professional in Brisbane, the biggest game in town is rugby league. The biggest team is the Broncos.
Yeah,
it must be frustrating for them. It must be incredibly frustrating for them. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break, but what you've got to do is call now, because you'll then be a chance to be a part of the quiz, the Event Cinemas quiz. I've got some breaking news around Prakash too.
Oh,
I caught up with him for a drink on Friday at the Roosters Bulldogs game. So breaking news around Prakash.
Is there some more tickets coming our way?
Of course. 1353 53.
In the lead up to the world's richest 2-year-old race, the Big Sports Breakfast brings you the very latest straight from the horse's mouth. Join the boys live from Rosehill Gardens this Tuesday morning in the lead-up to the Longines Golden Slipper Barrier Draw. We'll get the good oil from connections of runners on Slipper Day and drop in on track work and barrier trials. Hear it first. See it firsthand on the Big Sports Breakfast. Live from Rosehill Gardens Tuesday morning from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1. You'll love that autumn racing feeling with our great offers on the country and provincial qualifying races that'll get your fists pumping. Get involved today on your TAB app, tab.com.au, or at your local. TAB, we love a bet. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
So Country 2018, 46 tracks featuring Sam Hunt, Chris Stapleton, Kenny Chesney with Pink, and there's so much more on So Country 2018.
And Tiger Tara roars away from them on the home turn. 28 seconds for the third quarter. It's 5-6 in front of Ultimate Art, Yaya's Hotspot, Spammy Days. But this is in one race. The rest are almost in another postcode. It's Tiger Tara, 7-8 in front. A great go for the Miners, but Tiger Tara annihilates them.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, Brett Furman, the halfback, highly regarded young halfback, but he was on the sideline there with Trent Barrett and Lance Thompson back in the day when very visibly, very publicly down at Wynn Stadium. 1353 is the open line number that the Rabbit and Jeff have rung. So the Rabbit's up first and I'm up first
you
as well.
You opening the bowling?
Yeah, I'm opening the bowling. Hello, Rabbit.
Oh, g'day, boys. Go easy on me. I bloody was at Penrith last night. And I'm still getting over the Rabbitohs losing.
Okay.
Crushing.
Yeah, they're in the game for a long time, and they ran out a bit of steam with all that That ball they didn't have in the second half. But anyway,
and a couple of players in the
changes
in the head bin as well.
Inglis going off.
Yeah.
Exactly. Head injury assessment, that makes a big difference. All right.
Yeah, I need my head injury assessment. Okay, thanks.
Well, you might ask this quiz.
Depends how you go on the quiz, Rabbit. We'll decide on that. You might come and join Ray and I for counselling.
Yeah. Okay. I'm ready.
Question one. What sports star was being compared this week to Dora the Explorer and Shrek's Lord Farquaad?
Oh.
No clues.
I'll have to pass that one. Too silly a question.
Hang on. Surprisingly, producer Jeremy has left the building, but producer Steve's covered himself in glory early on. Aaron Woods and his haircut.
Producer Steve off to a flyer.
Did you hear what Dylan Napa said yesterday?
No.
Dylan Napa said, I can't be critical of Aaron Woods' haircut because it's just like my mum's. Didn't miss. Question two. Here we go. Rabbit?
Yeah.
Which type of ball was basketball played with until 1929? Was it A, a volleyball, B, a soccer ball, or C, a medicine ball?
The first one.
Oh, it was B, a soccer ball.
Yeah, who would have thought? Okay.
Thought anyone would have thought anyway, except you, Rabbit. Anyway, here we go. Keep going. Let's go.
You didn't, hold on.
Just give it to you, Rabbit.
You didn't know that question 2 years ago.
Let's keep it positive, you Rabbit. Sorry about that.
He's giving it to you, Rabbit.
Rabbit.
He's playing on your side. You
Rabbit.
Yes.
Question three. What is the maximum time limit allowed to look for a lost ball in golf? Is it A, 1 minute, B, 2 minutes, or C, 5 minutes?
5 minutes.
Oh, I like this. Very confident, Rabbit. Well done.
5 minutes, I'd never play golf again. I'm looking for a lot longer than that. Okay, it's one. Hey, Jeff, you on the line?
G'day, Bradman.
Hiya, Jeff. Hey, the good news, just one to tie, two to win, Jeff. We got this covered, matey. Question number one, in which country is the Sabina Park Cricket Stadium? In which country is Sabina Park Cricket Stadium?
West Indies.
Ooh.
Ooh, what do we do there? Producer Steve. Yeah. He's put a line through that.
Can you be more specific, Jeff?
Jamaica.
Oh, that's outstanding. This is a rot.
That'll do me.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's right. Hey, Jeff, the great man stood up. The arms are starting to flail. The theme of today's show is dummy spits. He's about to have one.
Can I have a go at that dummy spit?
Yeah, go for it. Go.
You, I think the older timer listeners will remember this. I used to watch the golf on the ABC. Mm. You remember the golf of Vaughan Summers?
Yes, yeah.
One day, I think it was a Victorian Open, he missed a two-foot putt, and he got that upset. He eight-putted.
He eight-putted?
I'm dead serious. He eight-putted on... I can't remember. It was in the last round. And I remember watching it when Brian Crafter was the commentator.
Jeff.
It was on the... Yeah,
Jeff, right. We're in the middle of the quiz.
Okay, sorry.
I told you he's got the dummy spit going already, Jeffy. If you get this right, you'll tip him right over the edge. Question number two. In which year did China win their first ever Olympic medal? Was it Tokyo 1964, Montreal 1976, or Los Angeles 1984?
Well, I think it may have been Tokyo.
Los Angeles 84. Surprised me, then. China.
Ooh.
Clearly surprised Jeff, too.
Okay, here we go. Question number three.
That's probably when they started cheating. Anyway, go on.
Question number three. Who was the first NRL coach sacked during the 2017 season? Was it A, Neil Henry, B, Jason Taylor, C, Michael Maguire?
Oh, seriously, boys, make it a bit harder. JP.
Oh, outstanding. Jeff, well done.
Oh,
he's blown up a street next to me,
Sabina
Jeff.
Sabina Park.
It doesn't matter. He said Jamaica. Well done, Jeff. Congratulations.
I'm a man for all sports, Jimmy. You know that.
Yeah, I do know that, Jeff. You're right. Congratulations. Well done.
Thank
you. I don't realise how pained I am to say that. But anyway, good work. Good work. Score update.
It's 6-5.
It is 6-5. Yeah, neck and neck. This is run this way the whole time, I'd say.
Boyce runs onto it. Found advantage play, a wonderful advantage. Jamie McLaren, a trick.
listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. We're getting a lot of feedback on our SMS, Ray, across a couple of different topics. There's our dummy spit topic, of course. Now, boys, the biggest dummy spit was when Phil Gould was sent from the field in 1994 as a coach by Bill Harrigan. And what about the tracksuit he was wearing and make a baby cry? Regards,
was
Rob.
Was that the game you were playing?
No, that's when he was at the Panthers and he was being very vocal from halfway. It was a game at Shark Park.
Ah.
And referee Bill Harrigan stopped the game.
That's right.
Yeah. Walked across to the Panthers bench and said, "You, get off."
That's right. What did Gus do? Was it Brookvale Oval?
Brookvale Oval in 1995. We were playing...
you were playing for Gus,
I was playing for the Roosters. Ronnie Palmer was the trainer. He came out on the field and instructed Sean Garlick, the captain, to go and tell the referee, David Jay,
that
we were leaving the field.
That you were leaving the field.
That we were leaving the field.
What did your teammates say?
In protest.
What did you say?
Well, we were like, what? Like, in the huddle, we were in the huddle behind, they'd scored a try. We ended up winning, by the way. We scored a try. Manly had scored a try. We were in this huddle, and Ronnie Palmer ran out and said, "Sean, go and tell the referee you're going to leave the field." Sean said, "What?"
Did things turn around after that?
Gus was saying, "We're going to leave the field." It reminds me of, I was captain of the under-21s for the Roosters, and Jack Gibson was the football coordinator or whatever you want, football manager of the Roosters. And we were getting slaughtered in this game against the Bulldogs by the penalty count. Mm. Ronnie Palmer ran out, same thing. I was 20 years of age.
He was again last night, Ronnie Palmer.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah. What a survivor. and he said, "Go and speak to the referee and tell him that he will be the subject of a full report to the New South Wales Rugby League by Jack Gibson." I went, "Oh, okay, Ronnie." So I walk out to this referee, got no idea who it was, and I said, "Just to let you know, the Canterbury goal kicker was lining up the goal kick." I walked out and said, "Look, just to let you know, sir, you will be the subject of a full report." Well, didn't think swing around, Ray. We ended up winning that.
Won the game penalty count 10-0 last 15 minutes.
The power of Gibson. He must have thought, "I'm a what? Jack? Oh, dear." 1353-53, the open line number. And then we get this one. This comes in from Jack up there at Olbar. Mm. What about RTS for the first overseas immortal?
Mm.
Well, if he plays like he did yesterday for an extended period.
He's back, isn't he?
He was brilliant yesterday. So Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, good nomination. I'm sticking with Taumalolo, but that's a very good nomination for RTS. Let's go to the callers. Raymond, Patrice is there.
Yes, good morning, Raymond.
Good morning, Patrice. How are you?
Good. I'm very well, thank you. Good morning, James.
What do you got for us, Patrice? Let's get to the nitty-gritty, mate.
He's a hard man, Patrice, isn't he?
Yeah, I know. He's a bit like Terry Kennedy, but I can say.
Listen, you can insult me any way you like. However, that is the lowest blow.
He's drawn
a line. I wanted to make you and Raymond laugh after I play Spit the Dummy, but you gave me the impression you don't want nothing to do with it.
What was that? Sorry, Patrice.
No. Don't need to go over it again. Have you got anything for us, Patrice?
Yes.
What is it?
Dummy. Remember when Jason Taylor was the coach of South Sydney and one of the players from South Sydney punched him?
David Fa'alongo.
Yes.
Gee, that's right.
So that's my dummy spit.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, isn't it?
Right.
Mm.
All right, thanks, Patrice.
Oh, gee, that was a good call.
Not too bad, I suppose. A minute of programming we'll never get back, Ray. 1353-53.
You want to encourage people to ring in, James? You don't want to just...
No, what we want to do is encourage good callers.
Okay.
Right?
Let's see what Jimmy from Campbelltown's got. Jimmy, good morning.
G'day, Ray. How you going?
Terrific. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm all right. Do I qualify Jimmy Smith as a good caller or what?
Absolutely.
There's a cap coming your way if you
Absolutely.
Do, I think, on his form previously.
Well, you're the most wonderful guys on Sunday morning radio. How's that?
Are there any other guys on Sunday morning radio, Jimmy?
I don't know. I don't listen to them.
There you go.
Oh, good answer. Good answer.
That's two caps now.
Two caps.
Well, I'll wear one next Saturday, the slipper. I'm so looking forward to next Saturday.
It's going
to
be a great slipper. Great race day, isn't it? Mm. Winks back.
It's race day out, right? Mm. It's just a shame it's not the following Saturday when it would be Easter Saturday, which I reckon they probably should run the slipper every Easter Saturday.
That's in the
powers of beef. You're talking about dummy spits. I've seen an absolute corker this morning from many, many years ago.
Mm.
One Jimmy Connors going off at the umpire of the US Open.
I'm 39 years old. I'm busting my clacker, blah, 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 blah. Turned the game around and won the match.
Was it as good as McEnroe's that time at Wimbledon when he said, you can't be serious, the ball was on the line?
Which one?
You know the thing about McEnroe is they weren't dummy spits. They were almost premeditated to put his opponent off their game because they're in the ascendancy.
What did Steve Waugh call it? Mental disintegration.
And who was the one person he never ever pulled it on? It was Bjorn Borg.
Borg, yeah.
Borg. Never ever once did he pull it on because he knew it just wasn't going to go through.
That's a good point, actually.
I read that book from Bill Scanlon, who was a top 10 player, and he said, the number of people who would follow McEnroe into the dressing sheds and try to punch the living tripe out of him because they knew he wasn't blowing up
just
per se.
Off the game.
He was just trying to change the momentum of games. That's
and how many times? One other quick thing, if I can say, boys, I'm very surprised they haven't heard anybody say how Melbourne played yesterday. I thought they were woeful.
I suppose because the Tigers were just amazing how they managed to win, Jimmy. That was the thing that surprised everybody, given the penalty count and everything. A cap going Jimmy's way.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. Cap going Jimmy's way. And I totally agree. I think Suliasi Vunivalu played a really poor
Derek
game.
Cocker.
And he wasn't on his own. He wasn't on his own. 13-53-53, the open line number. Oh, he's Midnight. Hello, Midnight.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Raymond.
How are you, Midnight?
Oh, not too bad, mate. A bit bruised. I got mugged the other night.
Here we go. You got mugged.
A couple of blokes took me wink hat.
that's a good one.
So they left your wallet with you. They took the Winx hat.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, they only wanted the Winx hat.
Yeah, oh, fair enough. You're not angling for another Winx hat or anything, are you?
Talking to me wallet.
Yeah.
Was at Star City last night with Peter Wynn.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good night actually.
Oh yeah.
So I'm cashed up.
Okay, have you got team for us here?
Oh, yeah, I can give you a team.
Oh, right, okay.
Fullback, Adam Starr.
Yeah.
Wingers, Ray Black and Gary Jack. Centers, Gordon Hart and Peter Diamond.
Nice, yes, nice.
We have Ray Ainsworth and John Valley Ballaston.
Okay, yes.
We lock Joel Penny.
Who?
Joel Penny.
Joel Penny, yes.
Yeah. In second row, Gary Coyne and Dennis Betts. In top, Norm Pounder and Ray Money.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Just before you go
further. He's questioning one Midnight.
When did Ray Money play?
Newtown, 1959.
Why do they all come from Newtown?
Don't doubt him, Jim. Don't doubt him.
59-61.
Okay.
He's always been right. Who's your hooker, Midnight?
Oh, what we needed last night. Michael Luck.
The coach.
Well, my coach.
Yeah.
This is what we've done. Peter Wynn.
Ah, There you go.
And I talked Wally into it last night. You know how mean he is.
Yes.
Said anyone pops in today and mentions Midnight, he'll give him $50 off a Parramatta jersey.
Oh, there you go. Tanya's out the door now.
He did not.
Hey?
He did not.
He did so, mate.
Listen.
I got him in a weak moment.
Yeah, well, listen, you tell that Peter Wynn, I know he's very tight, but he can't come onto this program trying to advertise without paying some dough, okay?
I already got a schooner out of him.
It's all right for you, Midnight. What about for us?
We should challenge our listeners. Anyone goes to Peter Wynn stores today and gets $50 off their Parramatta jerseys, let us know next week.
They've got to let us know with a photo on social media, or if they don't have that, then give us a call next week on 1353 53. There you go. Dummy spit, Gordon Tallis, when he called Bill Harrigan a cheat. That's from Steve.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
that was in the State of Origin game. Sent him off. Now, where was that good one that we had for... here we go, dummy spits. Twos at the press conference was pretty good. Twos.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
That's it. There we go. But Linford Christie lying down on the track after being disqualified from the Olympic 100-metre final at Atlanta is one of the best.
That is hard to beat. Yeah.
That is.
That was another bizarre episode.
That's right. Bob, good morning.
Was it John Daly? Did he throw his whole bag or just some golf clubs into the river there one time?
Remember, he threw at least one club. He hurled it, didn't he?
He threw the club into the lake.
Yeah.
He was pretty volatile when it got when things got bad.
So I reckon he walked off a couple of times too, didn't he? Like halfway through a round, he said, "I had enough of this," and just took off.
Yep. And McEnroe definitely with the water bottles.
Yes.
On the side of the side of the court, whacked. Yeah.
As someone said earlier, though, Bob McEnroe, which one is?
Well, I've just on you saying that, Bob. I've just googled John Daly throwing golf sticks, and it's just a matter of which one I want to choose here. The 2015 PGA Championship. We've got biggest golf blow-ups here. This was John Daly again. Throws his club into Lake Michigan. Anyway, yes, it was a good pickup.
No worries.
Good on you, Bob. Thanks, appreciate boys. The call. There you go, 1353. It's the open line number. So keep going with that. We've got to stick around, because after the news, Raymond.
What was your big news about Prakash?
Oh, sorry. Mm. Lucky you. Thank you, because I had to make mention of this. You know how successful Prakash is as a event cinema manager.
Climbing the corporate ladder.
Yeah, he's now into George Street after really turning around the fortunes out there at Parramatta. Done a fantastic job.
What's happened
job.
To Parramatta since?
Not a good... Doesn't make for good reading. But event cinema at Parramatta, absolutely fantastic. So I caught up with Prakash on Friday out at the footy. Mm-hmm. He's a mad Roosters man.
Is he?
Yeah, loves his Roosters. So he's very happy with the result there. But he was there with a mate of his, Ben. Now, Ben had a big day yesterday. He was proposing.
How'd it go?
So, well done, Dana.
Ah.
Well done, Ben.
Got the big tick.
Got the big tick, yeah. Well done. So, good stuff all around. So, not only is he an outstanding event cinema manager, also a matchmaker.
Oh.
So,
he'd be feeling pretty good about himself.
A little bit of Cupid there associated with Prakash. So, I'm glad you mentioned that.
He'd be feeling good about himself.
Well done. Saw Peter Lonard out at the footy too on Friday night.
The great Peter Lonard.
He left early. He's a Mad Dogs fan. He did have his very young baby with him, and she was playing up a little bit. But Pete was there, and he wasn't liking what he was seeing. I hope you like what you hear after 9 o'clock, Raymond, because our legend